Welcome to the Red Phone Zone. This is issue number 63. We've decided 62. That's right, 62. We're all weird and stuff like that. But yeah, this is our weekly podcast where we like to talk about movies and specifically movie genres. What we've been doing lately is we've been inviting people that we run into online to come on and put in their two cents and choose a topic that they wanted to talk about. I actually ran into Edward Douglas via his, I don't know if I want to call it infamous, but his Green Lantern review over at Superhero Hype and ComingSoon.net.
Which I haven't read yet or listened to the interview,
Just so you know. Well, it exists. But tonight we have Edward on, and thank you for coming back, Edward.
Oh, thanks for having me. I had a lot of fun last time.
It was fun. I was actually that's actually one I enjoyed listening to, you know, more than just like the mechanics of getting it put together. I thought it was an interesting conversation. But we're not talking reviews this time around. Tonight we're going to be talking about movies, and specifically comic book movies. And honestly, considering that we're a geek podcast, I'm surprised it took us this long to get to comic book movies.
Well, yeah, and thing is, all of our topics, at least for this thing, are generated or chosen by our guests, and no one picked it yet. So.
I think, yeah, that's amazing. But it's cool, though, because, you know, we're now starting to figure out the format, and it works a little bit smoother now.
And, of course, we're talking horror.
No, we're not talking horror again. What is there, three times, four times?
Three or four.
We've done a lot of horror shows, Edward. But,
oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, a lot. But
do,
yeah.
Do you guys do different subgenres, or have you just been doing...
Well, what we did is we did classic horror. We did two horror shows.
Yeah.
Okay.
We did one back in the old format, too.
What we did for that one is we did just overall horror, and then just a couple of weeks, well, I think it was 2 months ago by now, we did classic horror, and that was a really fun discussion. But I think we did three or four sci-fi shows. We got pretty sick of talking about sci-fi. But yeah, but we're talking comic book movies, so that's going to be a lot of fun, because comic books is one of the reasons why I started doing this podcast in a roundabout kind of way. So that'll be cool. But before we get into that, we have a segment we like to call Geekly Happenings. It's when we talk about news that's relevant to us geeks. What has happened this past week, Ethan, in the geek world? I haven't seen anything that really jumped out at me too big.
I saw a few things. Let's see. Tony Scott is in talks to remake Sam Peckinpah's The Wild Bunch.
Yeah, I saw that, and I was wondering what you'd think about that.
Well, the original's just so fantastic, but Tony Scott is also a fantastic director, I think.
I think fantastic's pushing it, but I like Tony Scott's work.
He generally does good stuff, you know. So, I mean, his last several have been pretty good. I mean, he does a good action-oriented type of thing. I know, apparently, he's...
really good at smoky atmospheres.
Yes. The whole, smoky lighting.
Mm-hmm.
The original's a great movie. We might talk about it more in our Western show, obviously.
I love that
movie,
though.
Apparently, Deadline is reporting that he is anxious to cast Jeff Bridges as in the role. So.
At that point, it'd be typecasting off of that.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong.
I think Jeff Bridges is for his other movie, actually.
For True Grit?
No, for Hell's Angel. Hell's Angels movie first. I think Jeff Bridges, I don't think he's ready to cast Wild Bunch yet.
I would hope not, because I wouldn't then want it to be Jeff Bridges. I mean, Jeff Bridges is way too good of an actor to be always doing that kind of role.
I don't know who would be good to cast in that.
Which role is it?
I'm thinking the William Holden.
Oh, the William Holden?
Yeah. I don't know. It'd be interesting.
What was William Holden at that time, in his 50s?
Just about 50s, maybe early 60s.
Harrison Ford, moving on.
I don't care.
Yeah, but, you know, at this point, this is not going to be...
69, so.
It's not... I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a remake of The Wild Bunch, but it's not going to be another Wild Bunch.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's not going to be like that brooding, weird Western noir movie or whatever you want to call it was. But I love the original, and I don't have a problem with Tony Scott directing it.
Well, it's Tony Scott, so it'll probably star Denzel Washington.
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on that, Edward?
Not really. I mean, I like the original. I like Tony Scott. I mean, I'm not a big hater of remakes in general.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of funny that it comes out like a month before a remake of Straw Dogs.
Because there's a lot
of the same kind of hatred towards both these things. For some reason, I mean, Sam Peckinpah was a great director, but I feel like a lot of people are really holding these movies very precious. And I don't know. I think it could be an interesting. You know, I think they could do interesting things with both movies in some ways. So. Yeah, I'm interested. I'll see it, I'm sure. But
Well, I imagine you would. I don't hate every remake and sequel and stuff that comes out. It just like, I mean, it just seems like, I mean, come on, where's the line at? I mean, like, what don't you touch? I mean, you,
oh, it's, we, and it's not a remake, it's a reboot.
No, remember. Same thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay. Well, we'll see. I hope it's great. I mean, and whatever.
That's okay. I plan on rebooting Metropolis.
That'll be great.
You know?
Yeah.
Complete restart, you know, I mean.
In 3D.
In 4D. 4D. For smell-o-vision.
That, gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. But I hope, you know, every time I say that, you know, I'm not looking forward to a movie, that doesn't mean I don't want it to be the greatest movie ever made. I mean, I always want the greatest movie ever made to come out. So here's hoping, but we'll see.
Yeah, yeah, well. The last couple of years, there have been a couple attempts to sort of reboot or redo the Western and do it again, and there have been very few big hits with it. I mean, True Grit was good.
True Grit but, did really well.
Yeah, it did, but it's not...
It's a Coen Brothers movie.
It's not a Western movie. Yeah. I mean, and before that, really, the big, I guess, quote-unquote, one that did relatively well was 310 to Yuma, I think.
Open Range did pretty well.
Did it?
I mean, it didn't...
But that was before then, though.
Yeah, but it was only maybe, what, 2005? I don't have a clue. But it didn't do horribly, but it didn't do...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it did all right.
Yeah.
True Grit really changed it. That's what's going to be the... True Grit's the one that made people think, okay, we could do Westerns again.
Yeah, yeah, it's
just
the,
like Unforgiven.
Just like Unforgiven, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, by the way, is Lone Ranger still new news for you, or is that old news already?
Did we talk about that?
We talked about it last time, how the production got halted.
Do you want to talk about it from your point of view?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, I have nothing really new to say, but just talk about the Western. I think Lone Ranger probably had a good chance of happening because of True Grit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because people thought it would be better to make a Western now. So.
See, I see.
But not a $250 million Western.
No. I see the whatchamacallit, the Lone Ranger. I see that as turning into a Wild Wild West, honestly. I mean, like, just something that gets way out of hand because of the budget, because of expectations.
Yeah.
You know, because this is the crew that brought us, you know, the Pirates movies.
Pirates and, of the Caribbean, yeah.
You know, I mean, just because, you know, you have that crew doesn't mean you have to make a $250 million movie with Johnny Depp in it. I mean,
yeah.
But, you know, yeah, I mean, it actually, something that I might have said it last week is I kind of think that Lone Ranger might be something that gonna harkens back to the days of Dick Tracy. Mm-hmm. You know, something that maybe the general audience doesn't really know a whole lot about. I mean, I think most people know who Lone Ranger and Tonto are, but, you know, they haven't seen a show or
a movie. Seeing a resurgence right now of a lot of the pulp era stuff with obviously Lone Ranger, John Carter of Mars, and Conan. So,
yeah.
You know, we'll see if they fare better than Conan. The other Scott thing I saw was Ridley Scott is set to helm a follow-up to one of my absolute favorite movies, Blade Runner.
That's not news, though. I thought I heard about that a long time ago.
The news was that they were going to do prequels and sequels to it, but now Ridley Scott is attached to direct one of them, apparently. Now, you know, this can be take it with a grain of salt because, obviously, you know,
it's a classic.
Things happen, right?
Yeah.
Let's see. They have not announced whether the theatrical project's going to be a prequel or a sequel. From Alcon Entertainment, I think is the kind. Yeah, Alcon Entertainment.
It's funny. They were actually involved with. I mean, I don't know if Alcon were, but like, they were going to do a Blade Runner sequel like years ago.
Mm-hmm. It's been in talks for a long time. I've heard stuff about another Blade Runner movie for at least 10 years.
Yeah. I mean, but they've probably been talking about it. What did that come out, 81, 82? They've probably been talking about it since then.
No.
Well, maybe not right away because it didn't do that well.
Yeah.
But,
right. No, it was years later. Late 90s, 2000s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe when those awesome DVDs started coming out, that really I did notice that, you know, add some vitality to the people wanting to see more Blade Runner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But also because Prometheus has a lot of buzz. Prometheus has so much buzz that I think they think that now would be a good time to get Ridley to kind of just go through his entire filmography and just redo more stuff. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, and that's cool. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, with him doing it, he's a nitpicking enough director that I would actually see that to see a sequel made by him because he'd want to do it justice and he's really picky. So.
I love Ridley Scott. He can direct the hell out of a movie.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cool.
And you mentioned this earlier, but the Stan Lee Media Group is the entity that built on the bones of the internet startup originally organized around the persona and properties of Stan Lee has filed suit against Conan rights holder Paradox Entertainment, among others, last Friday on the day the movie based of the property opened. According to Hollywood Reporter, the litigation focuses in the 2002 transfer of the Conan intellectual property from Stan Lee Media to Conan Sales Company, which later sold them to Paradox Entertainment. The current owners of Stan Lee Media appear to be pursuing a strategy of litigating against various entities with which the company was once associated with, including namesake Stan Lee, in the hopes of extracting rights or settlements. Now, what this reminds me of is there used to be a guy out there that went and copyrighted the word edge as part of a game that he did. And he did this really crappy game that was just, I think he just called it Edge. And then what he went on to do was anytime another video game put out a game with the word Edge in the title, he would file a lawsuit against them. And he did this to Electronic Arts, to Activision, all those places. So, you know, like, they put out any game with this edge in the title, he would try to sue them to get at least a little cut of money. Well, the thing about litigation and whatnot, and that's what this company is doing, is they're just basically trying to...
I thought that was illegal now to do it that way.
It's frowned upon a lot more now. Well. But what happens is, you know, you have this big company, although I don't really think Phoenix or Parrot, whatever, Entertainment, Paradox Entertainment, excuse me, is huge. Obviously, they just tanked a $90 million movie.
Sure.
So I don't think you want to be suing them because they're not going to really have that much money anymore. But if you go after someone with deep pockets like that, you're saying, hey, I want $1 million from you. Well, you know, they have to weigh, is it worth trying to defend against this, or do we just throw the money at him, say, okay, we'll give you $250,000, go away. And that's what companies like this sort of do. Stan Lee Media, which has nothing to do with Stan Lee anymore, is suing over the whole Conan business.
The thing is that, I mean, if they really wanted to, they can probably have gotten an injunction on the movie, on the release of the movie, and that would have gotten their money faster. But the fact they waited until the day opens.
That's the thing, is they waited for the movie. I mean, it's not like they didn't know it was coming.
Right.
So, I mean, and that's going to be really, really be held against them, saying, well, you sat, if you have a legitimate claim here, you've sat on it too long to really do anything. It's not like you didn't know this movie's being made.
Now, is that illegal to do that, to, like, wait for the most profitable time to sue?
It's a concept called laches.
Laches? How do you spell that?
I think L-A-C-H-E-S.
Is that French?
Where is if you are a legitimate copyright holder and you don't you don't actively defend your copyright, you lose it. And which is why you see, like, companies, like, a little resurgence now and again, and it's like where Coca-Cola will mention its secret formula, or KFC will say, oh, we have our
Lemon Herbs and Spices.
Lemon Herbs and Spices thing. As long as they keep reminding people that that's ours, people can't go, well, you've had it out there this long, it's time to give it to us, you know, type of thing. So,
Hey,
interesting stuff.
Free law lesson.
Yes, exactly. Other stuff I saw was a movie based on Danger Girl is in the works from Bender Spink with three actresses attached to star. Those actresses reportedly attached are Mila Jovovich, Kate Beckinsale, and Sofia Vergara. It's apparently based on, obviously, a comic book series from the 90s of J. Scott Campbell and Andy Hartnell, published by Image. The Image Studio Wildstorm. So,
Power Girl,
Danger Girl.
I don't.
It's an Image comic. You know, it's one of the obscure comics. We'll be talking comic movies.
Yeah, big boobs and shoulder pads.
Exactly. And lastly,
it's not a very good comic. It's kind of like a very It's like Jake Scott Campbell, who's an okay artist.
Sure.
He basically was given his own, you know, he gave his own creativity to just make his own comic, and it's okay. I can see it being a good movie, maybe with a good cast, but. I don't know. I don't know. Based on the comic, I wouldn't.
That just to me, that cast kind of sounds like one of those geek boy wet dream, dream casts. I mean, it almost sounds like a too good to be true kind of cast, honestly, for for a Power Girl movie, you know.
Danger Girl.
Whatever, Danger Girl. Girl.
I spotted this. This is actually some news I missed at Gen Con. Was Arkeia Entertainment, publisher of the Dark Crystal comic book, announced plans to release a role playing game based on the Dark Crystal.
Like the Jim Henson thing?
Yep. Neat. In late 2012. So for us role playing fans, that's kind of interesting. So, you know, hey. And of course, did you want to talk? Did you want to talk box office?
Sure, talk box office.
Well, you won.
I won. Well, what he means by "I won" is with another podcast. They kind of handle the comic books more than we do. It's called Banged and Boardcast. They brought us on their show, and we had a what they called a summer movie bracket buster. Think like one of those March Madness things, you know, where you try to figure out who wins. And we were going off of box office gross, and you know, we did it all summer, and I won.
Yeah, I think I ended in what, third place?
I think second place was tied. I think second place was tied with everybody except for John. I was in first place, and then everyone else was tied at third. I don't know. I didn't really look. I just saw something about that I won, but. Yeah, this was a horrible weekend for box office.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Well, we already mentioned Conan brought in a measly $10 million, which, you know, hey, I'd like $10 million, but hey.
Yeah, well. but you didn't spend $90 million to get it.
I don't cost $90 million to begin with. But, yeah. And I think, like you said, Fright Night opened at $7 million. And Spy Kids opened at something like 12 or 13.
It was just over. Spy Kids was the highest grossing.
Or it was 11.
Whatever. Something. It didn't do well.
Yeah,
at all.
And it opened like at number 3, I think. So.
Yeah. Was it number 3?
I think so.
Maybe.
Something like
I know that
it did not open at number 1.
Number 1 was The Help. I know that. And number 2,
which has been out for
A couple weeks now,
yeah.
2 or 3 weeks. I don't remember what number 2 was, but yeah. Basically, what we did is we looked at all the movies that came out. I think it was from March until last week, and they picked like the big ones. We had to guess like, you know, what was going to do better than this and that and so on and so forth. And we all ended up choosing Harry Potter as the top movie this summer, and we were all right. But the problem is. All these other people did stupid stuff, like they said that The Hangover Part 2 wasn't going to make any money, when I was trying to say, you guys are insane, that movie's going to make a shitload of money, and it did. But I underestimated how much money it was going to make, and so it did a lot better than I expected it to. I expected Cars 2 to do better than it did. I didn't expect Rise of the Apes to do as well as it did.
Yeah.
I expected that to do well, but not $130 million in 3 weeks. I mean, it was interesting, but I'm not surprised that I won, honestly, because some of their logic was flawed. Like, we had one guy that was, you know, was pretty goddamn sure that Spy Kids was going to be, like, just gigantic. He was talking, like, $60 million opening weekend. I'm like, you're insane. Like the first one didn't do that kind of money.
Yeah.
The second one did all right. The third one tanked. Why would the fourth one not?
The reason we got so many is because they are cheap movies.
Yeah, exactly.
So they made lots. It's like the whole Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first movie made so freaking much it paid for the other two movies that came out.
Still haven't seen the third one.
You could add the budgets of all three together, and the first movie still made money. So I mean, that's why. Like Spy Kids, it's just ridiculous. So
yeah, well, hey.
Trailers I spotted this week, new trailers came out, was the trailer for Underworld Awakening, the fourth installment in the Underworld franchise.
Good God, I couldn't care less.
With the return of Kate Beckinsale.
God, I couldn't care less.
Yeah.
I didn't like the first one, let alone the second or the third.
I like the first one.
No, I take that back. I kind of like the third one.
See, and I haven't seen the third one.
I like Michael Sheen. But that was why I liked the third one. He was like the leadish character.
Yeah.
So,
the White Wolf ripoffs continue.
Oh, I remember that huge lawsuit. Yeah, that was crazy.
And the other trailer that came out was Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance.
I wanted to talk about that.
Comic movie.
It's a comic book movie. I think I said something about this on my Facebook. I think it looks good, and I'm putting my emphasis on the word looks. I like the way that Ghost Rider looks. He looked really real. He looked really grounded. You could see like the cracks in his skull and the soot from the fire.
He didn't look glossy.
No, he didn't look like a video game character. It looks like it's a frickin' Neville Dean and Taylor movie, for God's sakes.
Yeah, that's sort of my thing with it.
And he also looked like Scorpion from Mortal Kombat, because he was always throwing that chain and pulling stuff towards him.
Yeah.
Story-wise, I don't really have a comment at this point, because it's a teaser trailer. Yeah. There are some corny lines in it, but visually, I'm excited about it, kinda. I think that it looks good. I mean, I think that I like that. And the first one isn't as bad as some people make it out to be, but it's not that great either.
It's not awful, but
what about the thing which kills the trailer for most people, the peeing fire thing?
Yeah, literally, yeah.
Either people love it or they hate it, and
up until that point I was like, eh, and then that happens like, oh.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
This is Neville Dean and Taylor movie, right?
Yeah, well, I mean,
I'm done. Bye. See,
and I just think that...
And this might very well be the first Marvel Comics movie that comes out in theaters that I don't see.
I didn't see the first one in the theater.
Wow.
I didn't really read the comic book too much, but no, visually, I think it looks interesting. I'll give it that, and it looks like, you know, like I said, Neville Dean and Taylor will make a Neville Dean and Taylor movie out of this. It fits. I mean, this isn't like they're making... Care Bears or something like that. Yeah. I mean, they could make a Ghost Rider movie. Well, I think, you know, I mean, it doesn't change the fact that they're crackheads.
Yeah,
they might be nice guys, but they make crazy movies.
But for me, it's that last bit that
trailer, fire thing.
Just like,
I forgot. Yeah,
that's a joke. I mean, that's just a joke just to get a laugh. Because they could do a lot of. I mean, it was just a way to get a joke.
But with Neville Dean and Taylor's track record, that's pretty much what all their movies are.
A joke?
Are things like that just string together for 90 minutes? And it's like, okay, I'm done.
Well, I mean, you're not expecting Citizen Kane here.
I would want a fun, exciting, you know, action comic book movie out of it. But with Neville Dean and Taylor's track record, what they give you is this over the top, you know, not even dick and fart jokes. It's just over the top stupidity that I can't stand. So,
well, you know, hey, I mean,
well, you got to remember also, this is like, I mean, it's for Sony.
Yeah.
Marvel's still involved, at least on a consultant basis and stuff like that. So it's not like they're not going to let them, like, you know, have like prostitutes like doing drugs and having sex and nudity and all. It's not going to be any of that
and
stuff.
Random,
I mean,
it's basically going to be or something.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be just a little crazy. I think it's just going to be a little crazier. In the last movie, which was very boring, actually. So.
I could see it. Yeah. I could see it being a really, you know, hyper kinetic, you know, just like, you know, a thrill a minute movie. Yeah, that, which, you know, like Crank,
Crank 3, Ghost Rider. And,
yeah.
It's like, oh.
I like the visuals, and I can't really comment on it.
The effects look great.
And I'm not a fan of Ghost Rider at all, so I'm not going to be offended if they make him pee fire. I don't care. I mean, he's, I don't. I mean, it's just how I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's all I got. So,
did you watch the trailer for Coriolanus?
Nope.
Damn, that looks good.
Hmm.
Damn. Have you seen that yet, Edward?
I haven't seen the trailer. I'm seeing the movie, I think, next week. It's gonna be at Toronto, so I'll be seeing it soon.
I hope
probably next week.
I really like to see that do really well, because I mean it's one of those modernized Shakespeare stories.
Oh, cool!
And
those are pretty good.
Yeah, like Richard the Third.
Yeah,
with McKellen. That was that was a really good movie. Yeah, sometimes those work out okay, and then sometimes you get like that Romeo plus Juliet, which I enjoyed kinda, but I mean it was nothing like Richard the Third.
No,
so. The Harold and Kumar trailer, I mean, I'm not a pothead, but I love NPH, and looks like a bunch of NPH goodness, so
yeah.
I'll see that. I don't know if I'll make it to the theater for that one, but
yeah,
I forgot about the Ghost Rider trailer, and I was impressed with the visuals. But
it was like, on the Conan movie.
Yeah, he looked like I said, he looked like Scorpion from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Do we have any more news?
Nope, that's all I got.
Did we gloss over anything that you can think of, Edward?
Not that I can think of now. That's pretty much it.
No, me too, then. Me too. Well, stay tuned. We're going to be right back with our main segment discussion where we talk about comic book movies.
Can't get enough, and in the silence of the night, through all the tears and all the lies, I
touch myself and it's alright. Just give in. Don't give up, baby. Open up your heart and your mind to me. Just know when that glass is empty, that the world is gonna burn. Yeah.
And we are back. This time around in our movie genre discussion, we're finally hitting something that's near and dear to my heart, which is comic book movies. And if you're a movie-going person these days, it's pretty much going to be hit near to your heart, too.
There will pretty much be a comic book movie in theaters.
Always, pretty much.
For the next, 10 years.
However, Edward is definitely, and Ethan and I are of the, you can argue if it's a negative or a positive, but we don't remember a time, we can easily remember a time when there wasn't always a comic book movie in the theaters.
Oh, God, yes.
I mean, I remember one maybe once every 2 years.
And
then that one.
And if it wasn't Batman, it was once every 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. And then, but, it was also some of these are maybe you knew it came from a comic book, you didn't. But, yeah, we gave Edward the chance to...
We come from a day when we were excited to see The Shadow show up on a...
Hey.
Oh, my God, wow.
Yeah.
Hey, it's a comic book movie.
I still would have liked to have seen Bruce Campbell in that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
No, that was the Phantom. He was going to be... He might have been the Phantom.
That's right. But, yeah, we invited Edward on, and he chose comic book movies. Edward, why did you want to talk about comic book movies specifically?
I think it kind of made sense, because I work for Superhero Hype, but also... I mean, I've been reading comic books for, I don't want to say how long because it ages me, but I'll say it's over 30 years just to age myself.
Well, I haven't been reading for over 30 years quite yet.
Yeah, so I've been reading, I do read a lot of superhero comics, but I do read also some graphic novels, some of the more serious indie things and some graphic novels. But it is very much a hobby of mine to the point of spending most of my money on them. So,
wow.
So I do read them a lot. So I'm very, when a comic book movie comes along, I'm very scrutinizing it very closely because, whether it's going to be anything like the comic book I like, or it's going to do something very different or interesting with it.
As was apparent in your Green Lantern review.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, that should make it very apparent that I'm very. I mean,
you have a great love for comic books. That was apparent when I started talking
to you. Absolutely, and I think I have a feeling that if you're going to make a movie out of it, you're either going to make it as good as a comic book or make it better. And if you're going to completely screw it up or fuck it up, because I can say because it's. Not a family show.
Then
don't do it. Then don't do it. You know what I mean? Because exactly. The comic books are great. We don't need a movie. I can read the comic books and be very happy. So.
Sure.
I heard. Well, you said that you're going to do this, and I said, badass. I can talk about Batman Begins and crap like that, and be really happy about it. Then I realized I didn't want to do that with this show. Because there's a lot of movies out there that are based off of comic books that people don't have a clue about.
Oh, yeah.
So I decided to save my my superhero wad, so to speak, and blow that when we do our superhero comic book movie. And I just tried to build my list off of movies that... I mean, some of them you probably know they're comic books, some of them you don't, but... I don't have it, spoiler, but I don't have any Batmans or Supermans or stuff like that on my list, which is, if any of you do, that's fine. That's just how
I talk comic books. I can't talk about it. I can't not talk superheroes. Mm-hmm. Superheroes have been a huge part of my geek life for over 20 years.
Me too, but at the same time, we could do a show off of superhero comic book movies, and I'm hoping that'll happen. Hopefully somebody hears this and says, let's see these guys do just specifically DC movies or Marvel movies.
Sure, because we're at the point where we could start doing that because enough have come out.
Yeah.
I mean, we still remember the day when, okay, what are the best Marvel movies that have come out? Okay,
Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Shut up!
I know some of them, but none of them are good.
We talked to a kid. Well, that's not very nice. We talked to a kid a couple of shows back. We did a Batman show, or we did our favorite Batman movies and media and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. This dude couldn't remember pre-1989. And the dude's a big Batman fan. He's part of BatmanNews.com, and we were trying to explain to him the electricity in the air of the summer of '89.
Oh yeah,
you couldn't look in any direction without seeing the bat symbol. Mm-hmm. And it was a gigantic thing. But I don't know for a fact, but it sounds like you're older than us, so you probably remember a day before Superman. I don't, but
I'll say that I do remember a day, but I was very young, so I was not. So I didn't go see. I don't think I saw Superman.
When did Superman come out?
78.
Yeah, that was. I was born in 79, so no. No, I don't. I don't remember that. I don't remember pre-Star Wars. I'm a youngin, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's weird. I don't remember seeing Superman in a theater, even though I was definitely alive, which is kind of strange. I mean, I was into comic books back then too, so I was into Superman comics too. So somehow I don't know how I didn't see that in theaters, but like it was just one of the ones I missed, I guess.
Well, with comic book movies in general, though, over the last 20 years, we've seen this great renaissance where they have sort of come into. Sort of the studio thought before like circa 2000, well, circa 1999 was to do a comic book movie. Oh well, comic books are cheap, fun entertainment, so we can make a cheap movie. And so they did. They would do one, and you'd get the Captain America, 1970s movie, 1990s movie.
Captain America too. That one was the shit.
With this amount of where they spend next to nothing on it, it looks like crap, and the comic book fans watch it and go, what the hell is this crap?
See,
I have a question, guys.
Please.
Do you want me to do, when we do the top six, do you want me to like not do superhero movies?
No. That was something that I chose to do. If you want to do superhero movies, go ahead.
I've got superhero movies on mine. I'm not changing it. So.
Yeah, okay, well, so I can do six non-superhero movies very easily. So.
I'm just doing it real quickly, because I just want to...
Well, my love of comic books comes from my love of the superhero genre.
Sure.
So, I mean, those are the comic books I read.
Yeah, and me too. And so. I mean, I've read very few comic books that aren't of that.
Sure.
Idea, but I look at the comic book genre at least in our lifetime ish, and I would say three important comic book movies. That brought us to the summer of 2011, and we had four or five comic book movies come out, or three or something like that. But I see the original Batman, the 1989. That one just shot it into the stratosphere, and then it a lot of people overlook it. But I thought Blade was kind of important in the development of comic book.
Oh,
movie.
Yeah.
I hated that movie, but it was important because it was.
It's my first remember. It's the first time I remember a Marvel movie coming out, hitting theaters, and doing. Really freaking well.
Well, they gave it a budget. They gave it, named stars. It was rated R, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, it made you look at the comic book genre a little bit more, spectacularly. And the one that just really, blew the roof off the house, so to speak, was obviously Spider-Man. I mean...
Well, X-Men to an extent. X-Men came out right after...
X-Men
came out
did, yeah.
After
Everyone
Blade
was all like, this is pretty fucking cool. And then they went to Spider-Man and it exploded.
Well, shit. Yeah. Spider-Man just blew the lid off of it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, obviously, there's
and then,
plenty
then you
of
comic... seeing comic book movies left and right.
Yeah, there was plenty of them, around then. But, that was when, okay, goddammit, we need to get some comic book movies because we need to make some money because, people spent... I think that Spider-Man 2 had maybe $101 or $91 million opening weekend. It was insane. And that was in 2002.
Yeah.
That was pre IMAX. Well, not pre IMAX, but it was pre.
It was on the edge of IMAX.
Yeah,
really.
But
it was still. I mean, IMAX was around, but wasn't. Mm-hmm. It was still very early.
It was in zoos, and you're seeing underwater videos and stuff with it.
But by the way, do you know why 98 and 2000? Why those movies started coming out around that time?
Why?
Because in the 90s, Marvel went bankrupt.
Right.
They basically sold off all their
that. Yep.
Properties.
Yeah,
and that's why how long it took to get one of these. Properties that they were sold into movie form. So basically, that's what started the whole thing because basically
And I remember early '90s when Terminator 2 came out. There were talks of James Cameron doing Spider-Man movies.
That was actually around for a while.
Yeah, and that was in the works forever.
Oh, good 10 years.
Yeah,
good.
So I remember in these days before the widespread internet, so it's like, you hear little rumblings here and there of, ooh, this, they're working on this. Like when Malcolm X came out, X-Men was in development as a movie. And it was like, ooh, hey, sweet. And that was back when you were in high school.
But,
That's important, though, because Marvel really kept the properties under wraps because there were so many bad movies that they kind of didn't really let them loose. And then when they needed money, the first thing they did is they just started selling things off right and left. And because of that, the studios started getting more serious about,
And we got Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I like Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Actually, not really. But what the thing
hey,
that
don't
I,
hassle the Hoff, man.
When we reviewed that movie on the show, I said something about that movie that I could not believe that Hasselhoff as Nick Fury was not the worst thing about that movie.
Yes.
I mean, that blew my mind.
That is true.
I mean, it was that stupid villain chick. Uh-huh. I just wanted to shoot myself watching that movie, watching her in that movie. I mean,
Would you rather watch that or The Highlander, The Source?
I'd rather watch that. I'd rather watch that sitting in a bathtub full of razor blades.
Only ask because Sci-Fi was showing The Source last night. It's like, oh god.
God, don't do that. Ugh. But yeah, why don't we just get this rolling and Ethan, shit out your number six.
Well, my number six sort of been talked about a bit. For me, it's the movie that for years and years and years I held on to as sort of this. See, they can do comic book movies justice on screen, and it was 1978 Superman, directed by Richard Donner. And this movie still has a very soft spot in my heart. And
I like that one, but I still prefer the second one. And call me stupid, but
you know. They're both so
similar
to each other in tone that, you know, obviously they are mostly filmed back to back. So, but the first, I decided to put the first one on here over the second one just because it was the first one.
Sure.
When you had, you know, they spent a good amount of money on it. It did really well. I mean, it was sort of a, well, you guys, you wanted to talk to Hollywood and go, well, guys, back here in Superman, they spent millions of dollars figuring out how to make a man fly and make it look realistic. And to have a movie that was fun, entertaining, and you know they had a good story, and
you gotta love.
They brought it. The story is by Mario Puzo, for crying out loud.
Yeah. So. Oh, the Godfather fame.
Yeah.
You gotta love the DVD special features where they showed them trying to figure out the flying test when they were shooting dummies out of cannons and stuff like that. I mean, it was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, and the DVD is great.
Mm-hmm.
But
they all are.
Yeah.
Even the 3 and the 4.
Yeah.
They're great DVDs.
Superman 4, soft spot in my heart for Superman 4. Okay.
And Head.
Yeah, that's true. But Superman, you want to go back and go, why didn't Hollywood, why didn't you realize sooner that if you spent the right amount of money on it, you could make a good movie? And it was, you know, over 10 years before we did.
Yeah.
And so Superman really, for me, is what I clinged on to for the early years of my childhood until Batman came.
This could
out,
be done know? Right, I swear. I've
yeah,
seen
it's like,
it.
See,
oh, yeah.
See?
Yeah.
They can do it right.
No, I,
and for the longest time, it was like, well, DC is doing well.
Yeah.
What the hell's wrong, Marvel? But Superman, you had Christopher Reeve, who is who is a Superman icon. You know,
yeah.
I mean, he is who I think of. I mean, he's who I will think of probably for the rest of my life as Superman. And it's because it was just so well done and so well acted, and just he just embodied that role so well that.
Well, you know what was kind of cool about that movie was the fact that they got, you know, Hackman and Brando in it.
Yeah.
So they had their star power there so they could really get the person that was right for Superman, for Clark Kent.
Sure.
And I think that was, you know, I think that was brilliant, but I don't know if that was the idea. I don't think that was probably what they were thinking.
Yeah. And I say, I think this movie still holds up today.
I do. No.
As a fun comic book.
Absolutely.
Movie, you know? And it sort of frustrates me, you know, that they haven't done a good Superman movie yet. So beyond this one to an extent, because, you know, I'd say, hey, you know, I'd like nowadays, you know, they have the technology to do a Superman movie justice.
Yeah.
And, you know, Superman Returns sort of fell flat and didn't deliver. So we're hoping Man of Steel does.
Probably won't. Maybe, but hey, we'll see.
We'll see. But yeah, so I'm, you know, Superman 78, directed by Richard Donner. I'm under six.
Good movie. You have any thoughts on it, Edward?
Well, it's not on my list. I mean, it's really funny because I'm kind of have a mixed thing about Superman, the character in general.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not like, I mean, it's never been my favorite comic book character. I mean, I've actually, which is weird because the first comic book I ever read was a Superman comic. But,
sure.
But yeah. I kind of read Superman in the 70s, I guess, when it was kind of a little weirder.
Mm-hmm.
I like the movie. It's never been something I've watched regularly, you know, in the last like 10-15 years. I just haven't bothered. So
if I had to wager a guess, I would say I've seen the first Superman movie no more than 5 times in my life, tops.
No,
but
way more than that.
But the second,
oh, wow.
I love the second one basically because of the fight on the street where they're throwing buses at each other.
Yeah.
And that's just a cool fight.
And it has the great Richard Lester bits in there with the with the bystanders talking.
I've always loved the way that Richard Lester directs extras.
Yeah.
He does that so well, and he just got this.
And I love both versions of that movie, the Donner cut and the Lester cut.
I still haven't seen the Donner cut.
It's more like the first movie, you know.
Well, then screw that. I love the second one.
But
okay. Wow.
Yeah, and I sort of agree. I do agree with you, Edward, on the whole the Superman characters. I was never a big fan of the Superman comics, but I really loved the movie. So I really Superman I can take in small doses. I mean, my big issue with him comics-wise was writers would come in and give him random powers, and they did that in the movies even, you know, Superman 4 rebuilding the Great Wall of China with his I-beams.
Sure.
You know, when you had Superman moving planets and whatnot, it sort of got to the...
Turning back time and erasing brains with a kiss.
Yeah. So I can take Superman in small doses like that, but and I think Superman can be a really interesting character if they do him right and if you have a good writer behind it.
Yeah, and I mean, goddamn, do I not hope the Man of Steel is awesome? I doubt it though.
Yeah, with the director.
When I see Superman, when I see Superman done right, he's almost done like the Man Out of Time, you know, because he has these morals and values and stuff that you know aren't necessarily prevalent in this, cynical age of, not trusting the government and, people hating America because of, wars that they feel are unjust and stuff like that. And I don't know. I mean, it can be done really well. And the first and second Superman movies, I think, are great. I really like them both pretty much equally, but I like the action in the second one a lot.
Yeah.
So. So I guess that moves us on to your number six, Edward.
Okay, well, this is gonna go about as far away from Superman as you possibly can, but I'm picking Ghost World actually, which is cop book, non superhero cop book movie, Daniel Klaus cop book, yeah, exactly, no superheroes there, yeah. But it's a movie I just really have a really soft spot for. I love the cop book because it's so weird. I love the movie because it basically kind of like it shows that people can be weird.
When did that come out?
That was like 2001,
yeah.
I want to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while. When that movie first came out, a friend of mine named Tyler, he thought that was the best movie ever made. And,
wow, okay.
I mean, well, maybe not. Well, I'm exaggerating, but he thought it was just, this wonderfully fantastic movie. And I saw it, and I hated it.
Right, I see that.
And I was like, 21, 22. But you got to understand, like, I don't like stuff like Watchmen or a lot of Frank Miller's work or Ghost World because of the ugliness of the story. And, I thought that the fact that, she goes in and she pretty much strings along Steve Buscemi and he doesn't want to have anything to do with it, and then he bites, and then she completely fucks him over and ruins his life and then leaves. I'm just all like, what an ugly, horrible story. And
right.
I hated it. And then I saw it again.
It was 2001.
I saw it again maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and there was no hate in me about it this time around. Like, I still saw the story as, pretty much what I said, like, what a shitty little girl, but then I realized that was the point. And I also think that, rewatching it, now I think that Steve Buscemi got robbed of an Oscar nomination for that movie.
Oh, yeah.
He was fantastic in that movie.
Absolutely. Now, the thing is, did you actually read the comic book? Had you read the comic book before seeing the movie?
No, not the first time. I've read it since. And,
right.
It's pretty faithful. I mean,
it is,
to
exactly.
a certain degree. And I mean, it's like, I get it. It was a faithful adaptation, but you're not going to make a faithful adaptation out of a comic book that doesn't speak to me and make me like it. And that's cool. They don't make everything for me, but
absolutely.
But now able to look at it, maybe a little less cynically and everything. I absolutely see great performances in it. I think it's a well constructed movie. It's not for me.
Sure,
and
right.
that's
I
not...
mean, for me, I love the comic book. I had actually read the comic book before the movie came out. And I was, first of all, I was like shocked they were making a movie out of it because I thought that who will want to see this movie? And I think you kind of nailed it by saying that you would not want to see the movie. And I think it was one of those movies that was just so weird. I was psyched they were making a movie out of the comic book. And when I saw it, I was like, it was perfect casting.
Oh, yeah.
It was like you say, Buscemi was awesome. It was like Scarlett Johansson's, like, probably her second or third movie, if I remember right.
And she was
great in the movie.
Sure
and it was,
was
one of those. You kind of remember, like, you kind of wished that she was that good in every other movie since then in some ways,
Oh, yeah.
She was, yeah. And, I have a soft spot for it. It's one of those movies. I mean, American Splendor is another one, which I would have put in almost my top six. It's maybe just outside for the same reason.
Sure.
Yeah, and this movie's a perfect example of sort of, it's the type of comic book movie that I'm just not into. It's the type of comic book I'm not into, so I didn't see the movie.
And, yeah, well, I saw it, and boy, did I regret it.
Yeah. So,
but, I've since rewatched it, and I get it, but it's still just not for me, and that's fine.
Sure.
So, cool.
That's number six.
I guess we're going to be moving on to my number six. My number six is one that maybe makes me out to be a little bit of a liar, because I said that I'm not going to do superhero movies, and this isn't a superhero movie in the strictest sense of the word. And it's also, something of a piece of shit, but I don't care. I put it on here. It's 1975 Doc Savage, Man of Bronze. we reviewed that for the show back in the day.
I introduced you to this.
And Edward, I am not saying this is a quality movie.
Oh, no.
But
how long has this show been around? Have you been doing podcasts since like the 80s or something?
No, we reviewed it. I think we were like trying to piss each other off because I'm a DC fanboy and Ethan's a Marvel fanboy. And so Ethan said, we're going to do a Marvel show. I said, fine, we're going to do a DC show. And I made him watch... all this is true, but I made him watch Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. for the Marvel for the Marvel show, and he turned around and made me watch the Justice League pilot for the show. And
wow,
yeah,
okay.
It was pretty bad. But Doc Savage.
Well, we were talking the next wave.
Oh, that's right, the next
and
wave.
With Doc Savage and Batman, and everything. And I said, there was a Doc Savage movie in the late 70s.
Yeah.
And then I went and tracked it down and shoved a copy into his hand and said, here, I remember watching it when I was a kid and it was entertaining, but it's bad.
It's awful, but I like it.
But it doesn't take itself seriously.
That's why I like it, though. To me, it felt like a comic book movie.
It knows what it is.
I mean, for the love of God, he smiles and there's a rotoscope bling on his teeth.
Yes.
I mean, he flexes and his sleeves fall off. I mean, you can't take that kind of movie too seriously.
No.
And I love the Man of Bronze theme song in that movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, the movie is like pure cheese whiz. But I keep saying it's not a good movie. But man, do I like it! It's one of those movies that just puts a smile on my face because it's bad in a fun way. I mean, mm-hmm. It's not Showgirls, but it's like, yeah, okay, I get it. These guys know what they were doing. I mean, what's a movie like? The original Evil Dead, let's say. You know, that was a movie that was supposed to be serious, and it got away from them. And it was kind of, you know, cheesy. But because, you know, Sam Raimi and Rob Tappert and Campbell all have, you know, good sense of humor, they ran with it. This is a movie that isn't one of those movies. They knew what they had on their hands.
Oh, yeah.
They knew it was going to be cheesy, and they ran with it. And I thought it was a lot of fun. I mean, I love the scene of, like, the Indian guy crawling up the side of the building, and then he's got that rifle, it was a weird image. I keep saying, like, the villain in that movie reminded me of...
It's one of those...
70s Christopher Lee, but they couldn't afford him.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just...
It's one of those movies that sort of took those golden age comics of those times, you know, those pulp comics, and it's like, yeah, let's have an Indian walking around in broad daylight or whatever in New York. Yeah, no one's going to notice because you just don't think about that.
I mean, his
and for the same,
Doc Savage secret lair above the building. And...
Right, for the same reason, it's sort of like The Shadow reminded me of it because it's like there's this Mongol warrior walking down the street in 1920s New York and nobody notices. And it's like, okay, you could try to sort of sit here and analyze it, but especially with Doc Savage, you're like, they're not taking it seriously, so why the hell should I?
It's not a movie I would recommend to anybody unless you have, like, a really good sense of humor. And
if you want a good chuckle
and you watch it in the right frame of mind, I think you can have fun with it. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
The cheese will ooze off of your television screen, and you will be able to have cheese and crackers in plenty.
Have you seen it, Edward?
I have to say, I've never seen that one. I've seen... probably everything else you throw at me. I've never seen that one.
I believe that one was direct to TV, I think.
No, it was in the theaters. It opened against Jaws.
Right. Oh, that's right.
It opened up against Jaws, buried. So
that's right. And it is on DVD. But
and
the
it's
DVD
like 40
out,
bucks.
The DVD is out of print, and so you can only find it for like 40 or 50 bucks. It's kind of like, really?
I wouldn't recommend BitTorrenting it or anything, but that would be a way you could find it.
But I do have to say that I would not really consider him a comic book. I mean, he wasn't comic books, but he was more of like a,
He's a pulp. I mean,
he's pulp, but like, I don't know. I kind of feel like he's more radio and pulp books.
I've read him in comic books with Batman, so therefore I feel confident putting him on this list.
Okay, fine.
But you know, if you have a Sunday afternoon to waste and you're in a good mood, check it out if you can, because I think it's kind of fun.
He did have a Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah, he did, and it was labeled as such.
It was.
And you know, it had the Doc Savage logo on his license plate. It's pure cheese, but I like it. Doc Savage, Man of Bronze, 1975 is my choice for number six. Ethan, what's your number five?
My number five is probably not going to be a big surprise. It's probably the best Marvel Studios movie. It's Iron Man.
I like Iron Man.
And obviously it was the first Marvel Studios movie that came out. And I think for me it just really set the tone for the Marvel movies, the Marvel Studios movies from that point on. And it just had a really fun feeling about it. It felt really in line with the comic books. It wasn't, you know, a shot-for-shot recreation of his origin story, but it didn't need to be. It felt like a very faithful adaptation. It gave great winks to the to the comic book fan, and it's one of those embodiments of what I really like about well-done comic book and genre movies like that, that say, yes, we are based on something, and, you know, we don't need to be exactly like it, but we'll at least treat it with some reverence and whatnot. And,
sure.
And Iron Man just came out and
at
the right time, blew me away with good star, fun story, and it was just a damn entertaining movie, and so... It that's why it hits my number five.
That's one of those movies that you know, I absolutely wanted to see it when I saw the trailer. I mean, this looks like it could be pretty fun. And
yeah, it's an Ethan movie for me. You know, it's like, oh yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm just like, I'm done, I'm there. And, you know, I've always been a big fan of Robert Downey Jr. Mm-hmm. And, man, remember the time when this movie came out? He was just got out of jail.
Yeah.
And Favreau...
It was a big risk.
Yeah, Favreau had to, like, you know, he had to divert some of his salary, I think, and he had to personally pay for the insurance to get in the movie. And it was a big, big, big risk. But I'm thinking, that's kind of cool, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, if he can keep Robert Downey Jr. under control, he could be a perfect Tony Stark. So I'm like, okay, this movie could be fun. And I went and saw it, and I loved that movie. I mean, I still love that movie. It's just so much fun.
It really showed to me, you know, up to that point for a while, we were hearing Iron Man starring Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Know, and it was like, what?
Yeah.
And that was obviously such a studio decision.
And you know who's going to direct that? I think it was the guy who did The Notebook. It was Nick Cassavetes, which is like, well, like, that would have been the worst movie ever, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Well, it's you know, like David Fincher doing a Mission Impossible movie. But anyway.
I would love to see a David Fincher Mission Impossible movie.
Yeah, it would be interesting. But with Iron Man, you know, it just showed me that, I mean, they had all these oddball elements, these ingredients of John Favreau directing it. You're like, who, what?
Right? The Swingers guy?
You know. Okay. And then, you know, Robert Downey Jr., who you go... Okay, yeah, I like him. He's a good actor and whatnot. And then,
like,
you know,
weird.
It's like, Jeff Bridges is the bad guy.
You're
and
like,
we're not doing the Mandarin and all that one. All right. Yeah. And then you saw it, and it all just worked.
Yeah.
It worked together brilliantly.
And I mean,
just like, Marvel, if you keep it, if you keep this as your point of reference, you're going to do fine.
You got to give them props for you. Black Sabbath did Iron Man, right? Or is it Ozzy? But whoever did that song.
Is Ozzy.
Okay.
Was it Black Sabbath?
It was Black Sabbath originally.
Ozzy was with, yeah, okay.
But yeah. Whoever did you got to hand it to them that they were able to use that, a song called Iron Man in a movie called Iron Man, mm-hmm. and make it work.
Well, and they really just used it in the trailer.
Yeah, but no, it was in the movie. That was how the damn movie ended. You know, I am Iron Man.
That's
true. You got to give them credit. I mean, that's a really slippery slope, and they pulled it off beautifully, I thought. No, I love that movie. It's not on my list, but it would totally be on my superhero list.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
it's actually my number two. It's actually one of my favorite superhero movies of all time.
It's great.
For many of the reasons you guys talk about, but, like, I mean, it's really funny because I actually talked to Jon Favreau about Iron Man before Robert Downey was even cast, and because he had just been signed on, he was at Comic-Con. I've actually talked to him a bunch of times, and then I was at Comic-Con when they showed the first footage of Iron Man and of some of those other things, and I was definitely on board from day one. You know, from the very second I heard about it, I was very excited. I was very lucky to see things as it was going along. But, you know, before everyone else, and it really delivered. I mean, I think I was in a really shitty mood that day that I ended up finally seeing the movie.
Man, that'd been a good day.
No, I was such a shitty mood. I was, like, so looking forward to the movie, but I was such a bad mood. And by the time the movie ended, I had the biggest smile on my face I've had in a long time. And that's the kind of effect the movie had on me. I was just so happy they nailed it and they got the character right and. I mean, it was just so much fun. I just love this movie.
Yeah,
it was actually kind of funny because you know, that was. You know, I had the internet and whatnot at that time, and so I had heard about the scene after the trailers with Nick Fury and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I stayed behind, and it was funny, when I saw it, like, me and my wife at the time and maybe two or three other people stayed after the trailer, and then to see the thing after the movie. And then when I went and saw Captain America, like, a couple weeks ago or whatever, there was, like, two or three people that got up and left. And everyone else stayed in the theater. And I thought that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just neat. I do like the way the Marvel movies are coming together. I mean, obviously, I'd rather see DC do well because fundamentally I like DC better. But Marvel's doing their movies really well.
I'm glad you had the internet in 2008.
Yeah,
I'd be really worried if you didn't have the internet in 2008.
Yeah, well, you know, I grew up in the sticks, so.
Oh, okay.
But then again, I was 28 and, you know, had a job and was married and had a house and stuff like that at the time. So I think you bring up a good point. So that's your number five, huh?
Cool. That is my number five. Yes.
No, I love that movie. What's your number five?
Mine is actually going to superhero. I'm gonna do X2. Bryan Singer.
My favorite X movie.
Yeah, it came out. Was it 2004? I want to say 2003.
Something like.
I think it was 2003.
2003.
It's funny because I really did not like X-Men the first movie at all, almost at all. I was like.
The first one was okay. It wasn't bad. It was still entertaining and fun, but it was definitely step in the right direction.
Exposition.
You know? Yeah.
They cast the right people.
They did.
Hugh Jackman, Patrick Stewart, Ian McKellen. Those three were just perfect.
How many? People like when people talk great casting, they talk. They'll talk Heath Ledger as the Joker. They'll talk. Right. Meryl Streep as anything, or Brando as Don Corleone. Why don't people talk more about the brilliance of Hugh Jackman as Wolverine? I mean, that is a fantastic casting. One of the reasons that I like the X-Men movies more than I do is like reportedly Hugh Jackman's a really nice guy, but you can really feel the love that he has for that role, and I believe it.
Oh yeah.
And I like those movies more because of him, even though I'm not a huge fan of any of them.
Sure.
And do you know who Hugh Jackman was before the first X-Men movie?
Who Hugh Jackman was before it?
Yeah, nobody. No one knew who this guy was.
Hell no. I remember Doug Ray Scott was cast, and then he had to drop out because of Mission Impossible 2 running.
The thing is that first movie made Hugh Jackman. The second movie made him a star.
Nobody knew who the hell he was.
I do remember looking at with our 56K modems and shit, looking this up, and we heard that this weird Australian guy is playing Wolverine. We're like, what the hell? He's 6'2". He's gonna fuck it up. Hell no, did he not.
And I just remember watching the movie going, wow.
Yeah, that dude's Wolverine.
Well, I remember seeing the first picture of him and going, wow, his hair doesn't look stupid.
Yeah, I know.
X2 is actually my number four.
If I have something negative to say about X2, it's something that Paul from the Bagman Boardcast brought up to me, and he's right, and I hate it when he's right, but that movie seemed to blow its load way too early. Because like that first scene with Nightcrawler was legendary.
That was pretty awesome, an
amazing scene. And there was nothing else in the movie that was nearly that good.
Well, what was set sort of up with the first movie, was just this great casting. In X2, as I said, X2 is my number four. So I mean,
love X2,
love it. X2 sort of took that one step further and proved that you could have a sequel to a successful comic book movie. And you could make it progress the story, progress the characters, and do it justice. And they even also kept up with the great casting with freaking Brian Cox in there.
Or Alan Cumming as Nightcrawler.
Yeah, Alan Cumming. And,
brilliant.
And they didn't go over the top and go, well, we're going to have... Magneto was the villain in the first one. We'll have him in here, but... we're going to add a second villain, but they didn't go overboard and say, okay, it's going to be
Apocalypse.
Let's pick random villain from comic book series and insert him here. And sort of that thing what they did with Batman was, it was like, oh, let's just have another one of his rogues gallery in here. It's like, no, let's actually progress this and keep it relevant to what X-Men is all about. And X2 just really just knocked it out of the park for me.
Sure. The thing is I liked about X2, I mean, the whole point of it was the first movie, it was kind of cheesy at times.
Mm-hmm.
The second movie got rid of the cheesiness. It was still fun, but they kept it dark and they kept it inside that world where basically mutants are trying to, find their way. And Bryan Singer, I think Bryan Singer brought a lot more of himself to it,
which
he wasn't able to do with the first movie. I think maybe with the second movie,
he was
able to be more involved.
Look at when the first movie was made. It was still a sort of an experiment.
It's
like, do we really want to spend this much money on this movie? Will it do well? We've done comic book movies. It
did really well.
So X2, they were like, Bryan Singer, do your thing.
The first X-Men movie came out, and I liked it. And I'm not going to say that I didn't like it, but I thought it was incredibly flawed. I thought it was way too much spread, way too thin. But there were still some good moments in it, whatever. I went and saw the second one with a group. Actually, Ethan was there.
Mm-hmm.
And went and saw it with a group of friends, basically because the group of friends wanted to see it. I'm like, whatever, I'll go. And then, I watched the movie, and then, I liked the Nightcrawler scene, and I like, I was enjoying it to a certain degree. And then the scene came with the, who was it that attacked the X-Mansion in that movie? The troops, Stryker's troops, when he came
and when
Wolverine was protecting the kids, and he like comes up behind that guy and he just buries his fist in his chest. And I cannot, I rarely seen a reaction like that in the movie. I mean, like, the everyone in the theater was all like, oh, what did we just see? I mean, this is a comic book movie. I mean, you know, Roger Rabbit and Spider-Man. Holy shit, that guy just got impaled on three. And, like, my entire experience with the movie changed the second that his fist entered his chest, because it was like, yeah. I'm watching a grown-ups movie.
Well, you watch the first movie, and, you know, you got a taste of some fun Wolverine. And, you know, when you're talking X-Men, Wolverine is pretty much what people want to see.
Yeah.
Right. And in the second movie, you got to see Wolverine be Wolverine.
But do you remember that you were there at the theater? Do you remember the reaction? It was electric. I mean, that happens a handful of times in your life when there's like just like, you know, like the revelation at the end of Sixth Sense or something.
It's that moment in a movie, you know, in a fun, energetic, entertaining movie where you just pump your fist in and go, fuck yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to me, like, they switch tracks at that point, and I'm like, dear God.
They just turned this movie up to 11.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of evil stuff in that movie, like that. Like, it always creeped me out, Stryker's kid. Like, you know, him being, like, on the iron lung and, you know, lobotomized. I mean, there's some evil imagery in that movie. Yeah. I love that movie.
It was the first... Go ahead, Edward.
Yeah, I was going to say, but also I think that all the actors were more comfortable by that.
Sure.
I think they were all very new for the first movie. By the time the second movie, like, Halle Berry had won an Oscar already. They were all, like, had done a lot more movies in between to get them prepared to do another movie with Bryan Singer. And you see it paid off, so...
Yeah, and another small criticism of them, and I love X2, don't get me wrong. One of my small criticisms was the forced character development of Storm. You know, with the whole, you know, like, the faith conversations that she was having with Nightcrawler. I mean, you know, to me, I'm just like, whatever. But, you know, I also got to see Wolverine bury his fucking fist in some mook's chest, which was way cooler than this dumbass character development.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, I love X2, so good choice, very good choice.
What's your number five?
My number five, I don't know. Oh, yeah, I do. My number five is the 1994 Alex Proyas film The Crow. This is a movie that I liked a lot better when I was 13.
Just barely didn't make my list.
I liked the movie a lot better when I was 13. And obviously, it had the mystique around it because Brandon Lee died making it, and that sucks. And
it's also one of those movies that you really didn't know was a comic book because it was such a really.
I bought the comic book the day I saw that movie because I noticed, like, you know, based off the graphic novel by James O'Barr.
Sure. It was one of those that a lot of people didn't know it was based on the comic book because it's not mainstream.
Either. Yeah, I didn't either, but I saw it. I'm like, cool, I want to read this. And, you know, in retrospect, there's a lot of goofy shit about it, but I give it a pass because of, you know, what was Brandon Lee? A little bit more than halfway through filming it when he died? I mean,
he was almost done. It was not that it was like towards the end when he got shot.
See, I thought that they had to
recut a lot of the movie.
It's not
they had to do some stuff with someone else like afterwards, but I think they were almost done by the time. Well, like, he's done all his like main dramatic roles already.
Who was it that it might have been Dimension or whoever it was that was originally producing the movie. They shelved it, and then whoever ended up releasing it bought it and went in. It was the special effects house, and they went in and, you know, they did all that crap and they finished it, and, you know, they did an admirable job. And you know, it's like one of those really moody movies, and if you're a wannabe goth kid in 1994, this is your Citizen Kane. I mean, there, you know, you had,
and I still say we need a good DVD version of this,
but... yeah, that hasn't really come out decently yet, but I really liked it. It was like one of those first, you know, and I was a kid when that movie came out, but, you know, it was like one of those first really, really moody, dark movies that I was aware of. And, you know, it, like, the city was absolutely a character. I mean, that's a cliched thing to say, but that's one of those movies where the city is such a character. I mean, it's just such a dark, depressing thing. And I don't know. I mean, I watch it, you know, now, and I've obviously seen, you know, movies that are way better, but this is one from my, you know, well, I'm not going to say my child because I was 14 when it came out, but I enjoyed it, and I've got a soft spot in my heart for it, and I don't really care to see a remake of it, honestly, at this point. So,
I like that movie a lot. I remember when it came out. I mean, I had read the comic book. I knew about the comic book. I was not a big fan of the comic book, but I was impressed with what Alex Proyas did. And he did, was this before or after Dark City? I can't remember.
This is before. Dark City was in 98.
I do remember being really impressed with the directing.
Yeah.
I do remember being really impressed with what he did and kind of like, I thought it was a much cooler movie than it should have been, because the comic book was kind of, you know.
The comic book was, like, you know, dark and dirty. I mean, you had the character that Michael Wincott played, Top Dollar, and, you know, he was like this big, huge ass crime pin, and or crime pin, kingpin, you know, like the king of crime in that city. And in the movie, or excuse me, in the book, he was just a thug. I mean, he was like the head of his gang, but, you know, he was like by no means a city sprawling, you know, criminal organization. And it was really dark, and, you know, I mean, it had a really cheap, trashy feel to it compared to the movie, where it almost had like this otherworldly feel to it.
Yeah, and actually, it's really funny, because the creator of The Crow, James Abar, I literally had no idea what it happened. I actually just looked, because I thought he might be dead, because I literally haven't heard anything from him in 20 years or something.
I've seen interviews and I've read stuff about him, and the way that he comes across, yeah, a guy like that made The Crow. I mean, he's a really moody, self-important, depressive, fuck the world kind of guy. But, you know,
you know the story behind the
yeah, I mean, his girlfriend died in a car wreck. She wasn't murdered.
Sure.
She died in a car wreck, and he thought, you know, and don't get me wrong, life sucks. I hate life.
Yeah, that sucks. Yeah.
Life sucks. But, you know, I mean, at the same time, I liked the movie, and it was important when I was a kid, and, you know, it's a thing that I really enjoy now, maybe more because of how much I liked it when I was a teenager.
Sure.
So it's my number four?
You're number five.
It's my number five. So what's your number four, Ethan?
My number four was X2.
Oh, right.
There you go.
What's your number four, James? Edward?
I went with
James
the
Edward
Knight.
Almost. The Dark Knight? Good movie.
Yeah, very, very obvious. I don't know if I need to say much more about it. But, I mean, one thing I will... I'm not a big Batman fan either, but... So I wouldn't include any of the... I mean, the character itself.
It's cool. I wear a Batman belt every day. I love Batman.
His character's been around for a long time. Sure. I've seen so many incarnations, read so many comics. So the character, I feel like... I mean, I like Batman Begins, too, but Dark Knight, what I liked about it is that Nolan kind of just said, you know what? Fuck this. I'm going to make a big crime movie, and I'm going to put the Joker in it. I'm going to put Batman in it.
Yeah.
But you know what? This movie could be literally about anyone.
Yeah, I left this movie.
It'd be a great movie. Yeah.
I left it off my list because I've talked about it enough. And like I said, have said about it, is Dark Knight is a great crime movie. It's an awesome crime movie that just happens to have Batman in it.
It's like I said, when I watched the movie, I loved every second of it, but I kind of had a sadness to me when I was watching it, because I'm just like, nobody's going to take this movie seriously because it's got Batman and the Joker and stuff in it. When it was, you know, a great movie, it was a fantastic movie, and it didn't. And I was right. I mean, it made lots of money, and it got the Heath Ledger. Like, he probably got a sympathy Oscar, tell you the truth. But he did get an Oscar for it, and very deservedly. And I think it's a fantastic crime movie. I made the argument on the on our Batman show. We did a couple shows back that I think that Batman Begins is a better Batman movie, but I do think that Dark Knight is a better movie. And
well, the thing is, you have to remember that, like, literally at the end of Batman Begins, he destroyed the Batcave, so that was gone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he got the thing is about Gotham City. It always looked like this really stylized city.
Yep.
With Dark Knight, it was just Chicago. It was literally just Chicago.
It was just a city.
Exactly. So the thing is, he literally just said, you know what? I'm going to make a good movie, and I'm going to call it Dark Knight. I'm not going to call it Batman 2 or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it basically was still a Batman movie, and people appreciated it for that, but it was just a good movie overall, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I
completely agree with you. I think it's a better movie than the Batman Begins. I just think Batman Begins is the better Batman movie. But yeah, it's like I said, I was sad because I saw how great of a movie this was, and I knew that people are going to be all like, this isn't a real movie because it got Batman in it. But no, I love that movie, and I own it on Blu-ray, and I will own it on every format coming out in the future because great movie. Great
on
movie.
Smell-O-Vision DVD.
On Smell-O-Vision DVD 2.0.6.
It will be mind injection. It'll literally implant it in your brain, the movie. So that's next. That's next step.
Sure. I guess we're on to my number four.
Yep.
My number four is going to be one that I'm pretty sure that Ethan fucking hates. But I like it, and I don't care. It is the 1981. I don't remember who directed it. It might have been Ralph Bashke, but Heavy Metal. It's a really weird Don't you hate that movie, Ethan?
I do hate that movie.
Yeah, it's so freaking weird, but I like it. I really like the serial feel of it. I like the fact that you have all those different stories.
It's like a quintessential type of comic book I can't stand.
I'm not that big of a fan of the comic book, but I like the movie, and I actually honestly just kind of like Ralph Bakshi.
I just dig superhero comics, what can I say?
Edward, am I right? Did Ralph Bakshi direct that?
No, it was someone named Gerald Potterton, and I know this because I just went online to check. It wasn't Ralph Bakshi, but it was definitely inspired by Ralph Bakshi.
Yeah. You know what? No, I'm thinking of American Splendor. American Pop? Is that what that was called? His music movie that was kind of the same style?
Yeah, I think so.
I really dig that movie, too. But I don't know. Heavy Metal is just... And that's another one that I think I ran into when I was like 8 or 9. And I just, I'm like, fuck yeah, they're fucking naked boobies and blood, and it's a cartoon. You hate it or not, you have to admit that it was made with passion, and it's well made. And it's one of those movies, it's fun to... People are like, yeah, I like comic book movies. I've seen both of the X-Men movies and Spider-Man. What comic book movie should I watch? I'm like, you know what? Go grab Heavy Metal. Then they're scarred for life. I mean, it's just a weird movie, and it's really thematic, and it's really moody once again. And I don't know. I like it. I think it's kind of cool. So
yeah. I'm gonna jump in here. Even though it's not in my top 6 or 10 or anything.
Sure.
I saw that movie when I was 16 years old. In the theaters, so that I just aged myself, but it was 16 years old in theaters, and I actually I read the Heavy Metal magazines pretty much for 3 or 4 years before. I mean, I was reading Heavy Metal since I was 13. I mean, I love that magazine because it had boobies and because it had lots of violence and because I was a teenager. But I saw that movie when I was 16. I can't remember if I was high or if I was not high. I can't remember that. But I actually really liked it because I liked the comic books a lot. And I liked the fact they did a movie about it. And the crazy thing, it actually has 3 members of SCTV doing voices for it, which is just like so out there. Eugene Levy, John Candy, and Joe Flaherty all did voices for it, which was like I loved SCTV also.
I did too. And I don't know if I've ever said on the Red Phone Zone, but there is very few actors that I miss as much as I miss John Candy.
Yeah,
I love John Candy. So, but no, I like
it. Crazy. Yeah, but it's just crazy putting those two things together. Like, where do the guys from SCTV end up in a Heavy Metal movie doing voices?
But it almost works at the same time because it's just so off-putting, it works for some reason. But yeah, I like it, and it's mostly because it's like it's that weird in a way that I can appreciate. I mean, it's not like, Kafka weird or something like that. It's just, I mean, I don't know. I thought it was a really neat thematic movie, so that's why I picked it for my number 4.
Yeah, I wonder if they're talking about doing another one, and they have been.
Heavy Metal 2000 was awful.
I know. Well, they were talking about doing another one, like Robert Rodriguez just recently was talking about doing one. And I'm really curious whether it will work because the thing about
it might. It just might.
I don't know. Well, the thing about the original movie in 81 is that they actually had like the most popular characters from the magazine.
Yeah.
So they had Richard Corbin did Dan, Bernie Wrightson did a story, and they all were involved with. They were all involved with writing, or at least the story. They took the stories right from the comic books. I don't know if they'll be able to do that at this point.
Probably not.
The magazine. I don't know if the magazine's even published at this point.
That'd be a really brave production house that would take that on after Heavy Metal 2000, because man, did that tank, and it tanked for a good reason because it was horrible. It was so not good. But, I picked it from a number 4. I think that puts us to, that'd be Ethan's number 3, right?
Yes.
What's your number 3?
Moving back into movies that I actually like.
Fuck you, man. Hey. You spent all this time talking about Seven Samurai. You can give me 5 minutes.
And I did. Yeah. I did not. There you go.
And for the record, I love Seven Samurai.
Yes. Well, my number 3 is sort of along the lines of X2. It's it's a movie that was a sequel that just really showed that you could up the ante on
turn it to 11.
Turn it to 11, and it's Spider-Man 2.
That's my favorite Spider-Man movie, except for the third one. I'm just kidding. I love Spider-Man 2.
Yes, Spider-Man 2.
It's another one of those. It's another one of those cases of brilliant casting.
Oh yeah. Alfred Molina. Yeah. I mean, God, Alfred Molina. Yes. And Spider-Man 2, for the same reasons for X-Men 2, is, Spider-Man was a phenomenal movie. It was fun, it was entertaining, it was great. Then they came out with a Spider-Man 2, and you're like, well, fuck Spider-Man 1. I want to watch this one again. This one's even more awesome.
Sure.
Because it developed a character. It had some great stuff, you know, great casting in it. And, you know, casting's half of it, really, for me. And you know,
it's a big part.
That, and Marvel really does a great job with it in general. But this was another indication to me. It's like, wow, they really are taking this seriously. They're not looking for...
Is that 2004?
2004, yes.
This is a little known fact about Spider-Man 2, but it was actually Roger Ebert called it the movie of the year. He called it the best movie of the year. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
I think that's crazy coming from Roger Ebert, but it's a great movie.
And it's sort of a quintessential, you know, great comic book movie. Is you have a great hero and you have a tragic hero. You know, you have Spider-Man whose life pretty much sucks.
Yeah, and this is another one of those cases of them deviating from the comic books in a way that was really dangerous. Like people would have fucking lynched them if they did it wrong, but they did it right. Mm-hmm. I mean, with the whole thing with Doc Ock in the comic, you know, he revels and being evil.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, he's the
They made him a really fascinating character, a really good character. And they let Alfred Molina act.
Yeah.
It's like, a lot of times, you know, you bring in a villain, it's like, okay, put on this jacket that has, you know, light up question marks and go crazy.
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of people are sometimes cast physically.
Yeah, yeah. And this one was just like, I remember when we heard the casting for it, we were like, Alfred Molina? You go and look at it and go, huh. Okay, I could see it.
Yeah, this is showing Ethan and I's relationship, because every single time we're all like, yeah, we were together when we found out about that.
Yes.
Because we were all like, Alfred Molina, that's really oh my God, that's brilliant.
Yes, it was one of those, I think, and we said it, was like, I would have never thought of that, but that's fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
I love it. And that movie is made, you know, a lot of sequels you run into the problem where it's not about the hero, it's about the villain. And this one, it is really about the villain, yes.
Yeah.
Spider-Man is there, but he's
tangentially,
not...
Tangentially, though.
Well, Spider-Man's there, but he doesn't feel out of place in the movie. You know, a lot of times it's like, oh, well, I want to see what the villain's doing. Well, this one, you had an interesting villain, and you're like, okay, I'm interested to see what happens here, and Spider-Man has to do his job.
Well, you know, both the Burton and the Schumacher Batmans could literally be called Batman versus, you know, fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Which isn't the case of Spider-Man 2. I mean, it was, you know, it was very much
it felt like an organic movie.
Yeah,
you know,
I liked it. So cool.
Right, to go along with those organic web shooters.
Yeah. So. You seen it, Edward?
Spider-Man 2? No. When did it come out? No, I'm just kidding.
2000.
I'm definitely a big Spider-Man fan. I would think in hindsight that's probably the best Spider-Man movie of the three of them.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's
not in my top 10. By the way, did the Dark Knight make your top six, either one of you, or no?
No.
I purposefully left Dark Knight off my list because I've talked about it so much.
Just like, man, I think two or three shows ago, we did our top six favorite Batman movies.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's kind of why I sort of left Batman off of here.
The Dark Knight was my number seven because, you know, I went with my argument of, you know, I think that the Batman Begins is the better Batman movie because we were talking about Batman movies, not films in general. But, yeah, I love The Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm. Well, Spider-Man 2, it didn't make my top 10 only because I didn't want to do all superhero movies, but I definitely enjoyed it. I'm a huge Spider-Man comic book fan, and I was never able to really 100% get behind the movies just because I just never got into Tobey Maguire or Kirsten Dunst. So I like the movies a lot.
But... I'm curious about this new one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, me too.
It could be really good.
Yeah.
It could suck, but it could be really good. I mean, like the first, once again, it was Ethan and I. We found it out together. Like when we heard that, we're going back to the first one, but it was like when the first one came out, they were kicking around names of directors, and you know, like every fucking director you'd ever heard of was in that list. And you're like, whatever, and then they're like, yeah, and Sam Raimi. You're like, and the next day, confirm Sam Raimi. We're like, that is the dumbest fucking brilliant idea I've ever heard in my life.
Exactly.
Because you know, it takes you a minute to realize just like how good of an idea that is.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that I think that he directed Spider-Man 3 well, but the thing about Spider-Man 3 was he's directing it down a hole on purpose. I have to believe that. I mean, I think that he's an interesting director, especially in these Spider-Man movies. So, why did you bring up Dark Knight? Just out of curiosity?
Again?
No, I'm asking, why did you bring it up?
Just because no one mentioned whether it was in their top six, and I thought maybe you just forgot to mention it.
No,
okay.
If I was doing Batman, well, if I was doing comic book movies, I would wager a guess that The Dark Knight would be in there. I will guarantee you off the top of my head that if we were doing like the superhero ones, I guarantee you it would be Batman Begins would be in there. I love Batman.
Okay.
I mean, like, right now I'm wearing a Batman belt, and I wear it every day, so.
Well, there you go. Okay. I see. That's why I wanted to make sure that no one forgot to mention that for their top six that they had in
there. Oh, God, no. I love The Dark Knight. It's a great movie. I can't wait for The Dark Knight Rises. I mean, I'm honestly a little worried about it, but at the same time, I do nothing but trust Christopher Nolan.
Sure.
Okay.
So, are we up to my number three?
You're number three, yeah.
My number three.
I don't think we've heard number three of...
Edward. Yeah, what is your number three?
Aaron, why don't you go first? I'll go after you, because mine is just so weird and oddball that it might be too weird. So why don't you go for number three first?
Man, I'm going to get this through quick, because I want to hear this. My number three, it's a tried-and-true, rubber-stamp comic book movie. It's a movie I know that a lot of people liked, and I know a lot of people watched. I don't know if it's a movie that a lot of people realize was a comic book movie. It's the reason that I was super excited about Captain America when I heard it came out. It's 1991, The Rocketeer.
It's my number eight.
I love The Rocketeer.
Fucking love that movie.
For no reason, really. I mean, it's not that good, but it's great at the same time, if you get my meaning.
I heard Joe Johnston was directing Captain America, and I went, well, fuck yes.
Because he did The Rocketeer.
Exactly, and that was entirely the vein of a movie I wanted. I was like, I want the guy who did The Rocketeer to do, oh, okay, never mind, he's doing it. Okay.
Yeah, it's funny. Somebody said something to me about, I'm kind of getting a little bit off base here, but somebody was talking to me about Hot Fuzz. And they're saying, who was the guy that played Skinner? And I was thinking, it was the bad guy from The Rocketeer. I'm like, it was Timothy Dalton. And they're like, oh, okay. And then I started thinking in my head, holy shit, did I just pull The Rocketeer over James Bond?
Yep.
And because I liked him so much in that movie.
Sure.
I mean, Bill Campbell was
Bill, Bill Campbell.
Yeah.
No
relation to Bruce.
No relation to Bruce.
I don't know why. I like that movie. It was a really good thematic movie. That's like one of those movies that I remember seeing old Alan Arkin in for the first time.
Yep.
And I'm showing my age there because,
it came out in 91.
Yeah. Alan Arkin had hit greatness before then, but I think this is the first time I really remember seeing
it. Well, and I think Rocketeer is one of those movies that is a sort of a hidden gem in film. You know, it's like a lot. Most people have never heard of it. I didn't see that. And it's like, no, it's really a lot of fun.
People are like, yeah, I really like that Jonah Hex movie. I mean, comic book movies are great. I mean, you're an idiot. Go watch The Rocketeer. That's where it's at.
Yeah.
By the way, Aaron, you realize at this point that all four of your choices have been before 1995. You realize that, right?
Okay. I didn't realize that. But
yeah, literally, you have not picked anything post-95 at this point.
Is that a problem?
Not really, but I think it's kind of interesting that the heyday was after 98, mm-hmm. and you haven't picked anything after that.
But that's actually kind of perfect for the way I'm building my list. I mean, heyday is built off of superhero movies.
Well, The Rocketeer, people don't know that it's based on a comic.
Right.
You know? It's like, that came out, I didn't know it was based on a comic. Yeah. I was like, oh, hey, cool, Rocketeer, guy who flies around with a rocket pack?
A rocket pack. I'm going to this movie.
You know, I was 11 at the time when this came out. I came home, I was like, I want a rocket pack.
Mom, get me a rocket pack. Like, first off, no. Second off, they don't exist, you know. Like, oh man. And I remember it was just like I was watching the movie and they had the line about how they had the asbestos lined pants and all, and like the thing in the back so it wouldn't burn up, and at the time I was like, that's stupid, you know, get onto the action, but wait a minute, how the hell didn't he burn himself? Oh, okay, they had to put that in there.
Yes.
But yeah, it's a fun movie. I really enjoy it. It's one of those, Ethan said it, it's one of those movies I like showing people because, you know, I hang around with people, actually I hang around with people a couple of years younger than me, and if they're like, you know, 7 or 8 when this came out, there's no way in hell they saw it. And it's fun to show to people, and that's why I picked it for number three. And I guess
is that on Blu-ray yet? Have they done a Blu-ray at this point?
I don't know.
No?
There's probably not because it's Disney.
Yeah,
and it's in the vault. But I know
I checked, it was just on regular DVD. The original pressing. They haven't done a new edition.
But it was decent. Wow. The DVD was not bad. At least it had a nice transfer and good sound.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great movie. But there's no special features on it. Yeah. I think that's a movie I'd love to.
It's really surprising because obviously Marvel. I mean, Disney owns Marvel at this point, and Captain America did well enough that they could, in theory, tie. Mm-hmm.
They should have.
Rocketeer, you know, they theoretically could say, this is the guy from the guy who did Captain America, the movie you love so much.
Yeah.
Really good Blu-ray out there. But
it is not on Blu-ray.
That sucks. It should be. Well, I mean, it's because of Disney and that goddamn vault. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's good in theory, but it makes you know, really want these things.
Yeah, and it's one of those, you know, you can get the DVD for like $10 or hell, you probably find, if you find it used, it's $5.
Is it still being pressed?
Yeah, it's still available.
Oh, cool. I should go get
it's still available, but, you know, there's no new edition of it, and I'd love to see a good edition of this movie. But the thing is, it was such a...
Did it? I don't even know if it did well.
It's such an obscure movie that, you know, I just don't think a lot of people remember it. That I mean, people like us who are like, yeah, I loved that movie. You know, people, you know, sort of forget about it is the problem.
Uh-huh.
But I think people were reminded of it because every time someone talked about Captain America, they would bring up the Rocketeer.
And I don't want to speak ill of Captain America because I liked it a lot. I think it might have been the best comic book movie that came out this summer. But I... You know, if I was stuck on a desert island, they said you could have Captain America or the Rocketeer, I'd take the Rocketeer. I mean, it's just such a fun and unique movie.
According to Box Office Mojo, the domestic take on it was $46 million.
What was the budget?
$35 million.
That's not bad. I mean, it's not a home run, but it made its money back.
So, you know, yeah. And I remember seeing that and loving every minute of it.
Yeah, me too.
So you ready for my number three yet?
I can't wait. What is your number three?
It's Old Boy, believe it or not.
I love Old Boy.
I know, it's a great movie, but no one realizes it's based on an old manga book.
Yeah.
That was the whole... It's so funny. It's being remade as well. But Old Boy is just a great film. I put it in here because it was based on a comic book, and people kind of forget that. So, but, like, again, Old Boy, just amazing Park Chan-wook film. Some of the stuff he did in this movie has already influenced other movies in the West that you can see very obviously. And of course, it's getting remade by who's remaking it? Spike Lee? Is that the case or no?
Spike Lee's remaking it.
Spike Lee and
Ethan loves that.
Yeah.
Ethan hates Spike Lee.
Wow. Okay.
This guy didn't like Do the Right Thing, so you know, you got to see who I'm dealing with the show with. I like that movie quite a bit.
Yeah, but Old Boy's a really good movie, and I think it's you kind of forget that it was based on a comic book just because.
That just means I need to watch the original, and not the new one when it comes out.
Oh, it's so good.
And I've heard of it. I've heard of it, and I have gone so far as to rent a copy of it, but I've never actually had a chance to sit down and watch it. So it is one of those.
Yeah, it's one of those movies you're all like, good God, what did I just watch? I mean, it's pretty intense. But yeah, you're absolutely right that a lot of people don't realize it's a comic book movie. But I like that movie. It's a good choice. I'm surprised I overlooked it for my list because I was, you know, specifically going for non-superhero movies, or at least non-mainstream. I mean, I threw out, you know, Doc Savage
I really wasn't thinking manga on this. I'm not a huge manga fan.
Me neither. I'm not. I don't know. It's just me.
Yeah.
So now, Ethan, was your number two Iron Man?
No, number five.
Did your number two
Iron
come
Man.
Out?
No.
Okay, what's your number two then?
My number two is thus far in my top six. This is my deviation from superhero movies. It is a goddamn good movie. It's Road to Perdition, and it's another one that a lot of people don't know is based on a comic book type of thing. And
I didn't know it when I saw it,
you know,
but I went out and got the comic book. I'm like, damn, that was good.
And it's old 20s, you know, gangster stuff, and it's not a comic book I would have read.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a comic book I have read, but the movie is fucking fantastic.
Yeah, it is. It's a good comic book movie and all that stuff, but you got to remember when that movie came out. I mean, there was I don't know if anybody else really remembers this as well as I do, but there was like a lot of like. There's a lot of eyes on Sam Mendes because the first movie that he made was American Beauty, and he won fucking best director and every accolade under the sun for it. And they're like, is this kid a one-hit wonder or something? And then he turns around and
I much prefer Road to Perdition to American Beauty film, with some top-notch acting in it, top-notch story. And
yeah, first movie I remember seeing Daniel Craig in.
It's filmed so beautifully.
Well,
it's fucking
Conrad Hall, wasn't
it? Yeah, I mean, it's just a gorgeous, gorgeous movie, and I love it with every ounce of my being, and I don't own it on Blu-ray. It's one that I need to own on Blu-ray.
Now, is this one that's going to be popping up in your list somewhere, Edward?
Yeah, it's kind of a giveaway. This is my number one, actually.
It's my number one as well.
Is it really? Wow!
It is.
Holy crap!
Yeah,
I actually thought that it would like literally throw everyone for a loop.
No, it's absolutely my number one. I brought that up because you know I still have to go through my number two, but this usually happens the other way around. Ethan's number two is usually my number one, but we're turning the tables.
My number two is your number one.
Yeah, we're turning the tables, but yeah, I absolutely love Road to Perdition.
Sure.
I remember like when the movie came out, they're all like, "Comic book movie coming out." I'm all like, "Okay, whatever, another dumbass Spider-Man wannabe movie."
Mm-hmm.
And then I started reading the reviews, and people were comparing this movie to The Godfather. I'm like, "You guys are out of your fucking mind!" And then I went and saw this movie, and I'm like, "Oh my God, what just happened to me?"
This was a comic book?
I mean, it's just
fuck.
I mean,
it's one of the ones I point at and go, "You see, They can. The, comic books are. A lot of people discount comic books as far
they
as
shouldn't.
As far as a literary medium, and I'm like, fuck you. Read that.
Mm-hmm.
Watch that movie. Read this, and yeah.
And you know, it could be an age thing, or I wasn't as into movies then as I am now. But it was easily, without a doubt, the first time I recall seeing Daniel Craig,
mm-hmm.
and it's one of his. Better role. I mean, obviously
he was
great in James Bond, and you know he's my favorite James Bond, and Casino Royale is my favorite James Bond movie. But what a performance! He was such a bastard.
Mm-hmm.
And I one of the things I love and, about that movie.
Well, for me, it's Paul Newman.
Paul Newman's fucking Paul Newman.
Yeah, well, I mean, Paul Newman is Paul Newman, but in this movie, Paul Newman is Paul fucking Newman.
You got to hand it to him. One of the things I like about a director or an actor or an actress is a word that I, you know, lamely call restraint. Mm-hmm. And that's when, you know, they don't go for the big money shots and they don't go for the big, you know, action scenes and stuff like that. And I think that's exemplified in the scene when I don't remember Daniel Craig's character's name, but that when Tom Hanks finally gets him. When he walks in and just shoots him like two or three times in the bathtub, you don't even see it.
Yeah.
And it's so anticlimactic. You have the whole entire movie based off of this, and it's just walk in, tat tat tat, and then walks out.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was so smart because it showed the fact that, you know, he was actually going for something more than killing this dude, you know, this fucking moron, this guy that wasn't worth his time or day. It just showed like how lame and impotent of a decision that was of his, and how it led into Jude Law's character, which, dear God, was that not a performance?
Oh yeah,
I mean, he was terrifying in that movie.
I'm actually embarrassed to say I haven't really seen the movie almost since it came out because mm-hmm. even though I mean it was literally I think it was my number one movie that year. I think I gave it
it's so good.
It's not a movie you can casually sit down and watch.
Well,
and it's not because it's like they're so deep. It's because you're mesmerized watching this movie.
Yeah. I saw it. The first time I saw it was at Ziegfeld Theater, which I'm not sure if you know about. It's a big theater here in New York.
Yeah.
And
I
actually had read the graphic novel before. It was actually a. I can't remember the name of the. It was a subsidiary of DC,
I'll look
and
it up.
They were doing crime comics, and they basically did put it out as like a four issue series, a kind of like thicker book sized books, and they were actually putting it out. I read it in a serialized format. I loved it. I was so excited for the movie. I thought the movie was just amazing. Paradox Press. That's the one. Yeah, and it's like, and I felt like, and it was so good. And I saw it at the Ziegfeld, and I felt like ever since then, it was my number one movie. I gave it a 10 out of 10. And I've kind of been hesitant at seeing it again, not as good a place. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't see it on TV. You know what I mean? So
it's a movie that I saw it in the theater, and I'm all, and you know, I had that, you know, moment. And I think I saw it on DVD or something, like, you know, when it came out. And then I didn't see it until I went to Arizona like a month or two ago, and I was looking through my aunt and uncle's DVD collection. I saw it, and I had to sit down and watch it. And,
okay.
Damn, is that not a good movie? And, you know, I remember thinking back on it, and I think of that bathtub scene, and I think of the scene when Paul Newman gets killed, and just how it's such a sweet scene, but mm-hmm. somebody getting the shit fucking murdered out of him. But it's a sweet scene. It is. But, you know, when I watched it this other time, the scene that I gravitated towards was Paul Newman and Tom Hanks playing the piano at the wake.
Mm-hmm.
That was... It's a deep and creepy scene because you kind of feel Tom Hanks's sense of employment in that scene because, you know, you have Rooney sitting down and wanting to play a song and you almost feel that mm-hmm. Tom Hanks is doing it because, you know, that's his boss.
It's also one of those movies. It's like, well, it's, you know, Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Oh, hey,
Tom
and,
Hanks,
you know,
big, Joe Boston Volcano. Oh, my God,
like,
he's
oh
got
my
a
God,
mustache.
He has a mustache and he's killing. Well, yeah. I'm sorry for laughing at you, Mr. Hanks.
Yeah, I mean, it's like one of the last great Tom Hanks roles.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a... I love that movie, and I made my girlfriend watch it, and she was all like, God damn, that was a good movie. I'm like, mm-hmm. See, motherfucker, I told you so. I mean, yeah, it's why I picked it for my number one, and apparently it's why Edward picked it for his number... You know, hey, you know what?
Exactly.
I chose the same as a professional film critic, so maybe I'm awesome like I think I am.
Yeah.
But,
so that's it for me, because my number two was Iron Man, and my number one was that, so that's pretty much it for my list, my top list.
Actually, this kind of works out, because my number two is a movie that might elicit discussion out of people. Obviously, I love Road to Perdition, and this next movie, I picked it as my number two because it was an important movie when it came out. And, you know, it's obviously, excuse me, it's flawed. But it's a movie that, to me, exemplifies what a comic book movie can be, even if it wasn't perfectly executed. It was the 1990 Warren Beatty film, Dick Tracy. I know that's a comic strip, not a comic book.
Sure. It's my number nine.
And it's okay. And I am absolutely admitting right now all the flaws. You know, Warren Beatty was too goddamn old to play it. They put too many frickin' villains in it. But
Madonna
for God's sakes.
That's all I gotta say, Madonna, and then it's off my list. So there you go.
Yeah, I gotta give it that. But at the same time, first off, it's got a soft spot in my heart because it's one of the very few movies I went to the theater and saw with my father. But you know, whatever, that's neither here nor there. I look at that movie and I really enjoyed the color palette of it. I thought it was neat how it was made in like the five or six print colors.
Yeah.
You know, that were prevalent at the time. I don't care. You know, yeah, Madonna was in it. Yeah, that made it suck and everything. But what about Al Pacino as Big Boy?
Well,
that was a performance.
Don't even go with Al Pacino. You know, I mean, that movie had
everybody
and their freaking dog in it. Dustin Hoffman
was,
you know,
Mumbles,
has a,
yeah,
little bit part in
Mandy
there.
Mandy Patinkin
and
was 99.
It was all because of
Beatty.
Because of Beatty, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I also remember when it came. I mean, it wasn't. I started looking into this a couple of weeks ago. I started thinking about it. I remember thinking that it was a ball.
And I think this is another one that's not on Blu-ray, I don't think.
It isn't. It's not even on decent DVD.
Yeah, it's like The Rocketeer. It's got its one pressing and that's
it.
Yeah.
So. And it's a movie that.
Printing.
In my recollection, and the 10-year-old Aaron of 1990, you know, I thought it bombed, but it didn't. It did all right. It did pretty good. And there hasn't been a sequel because it's tied up in legal bullshit.
Yeah.
And, I mean, how many of us remember the frickin', you know, like the racks upon racks upon racks upon racks of the yellow trench coats on discount at department stores because of that movie. and like the two-way wristwatch radio things.
And the really crappy action figures.
The really crappy action figures.
That had, like, no points of articulation.
No points of articulation and gigantic heads. And you can never find blank. And sometimes you can find flat top. But, you know, I like the style of the movie. I like the color.
Oh, yeah, the style of the movie made that movie.
Yeah, it did. It was really interesting to watch. And once again, I keep going back on this. It doesn't matter what list I'm doing, be it comic book or noir. You can see a lot of joy in Warren Beatty when he made this movie.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you could tell that, you know, he grew up reading and loving the Dick Tracy strips and, you know, maybe making a $100 million Dick Tracy movie in 1990 wasn't a smart move, but, you know, it made its money back, and I think it's an interesting movie. It's one of those historic movies, more than, man, do I want to watch this, and, you know, it cuts to the core, and, you know, if I could watch any movie on my list right now, it would be Road to Perdition, but I think that Dick Tracy is one of those interesting ones that I brought up more for discussion than, you know, I really loved the hell out of it, because, you know, yeah, I... Sure. It does have a soft spot in my childhood, but I do like things about it. So.
Sure, and looking at it, you know, yeah, you're right. It did. It made money, you know,
and
domestic, $103 million back in 1990.
And in your mind, weren't you also thinking it bombed? Because I did. I totally thought it bombed, but I looked it up, and it made money.
Yeah.
And they do want to make a sequel, but there's legal mumbo-jumbo happening. And
that doesn't surprise me.
And, you know, the fact that Warren Beatty's damn near 80 or 75 or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was too old to play Dick Tracy, you know, fucking 20 years ago, so.
Sure.
I don't know. I mean, do you have anything to say about it, Edward?
No, I kind of hated it, so I literally haven't watched it since I saw it in the theaters.
I've seen it like once or twice.
It came out like a couple years after Batman, or maybe even the next year. But I remember
it
very close to Batman.
The year after Batman, the summer after Batman.
Yeah. Basically, it was like kind of sold as, you like Batman, here's Dick Tracy, and it was just like, I thought
absolutely.
It was just awful.
Yeah.
So,
This is another one of those movies that I'm not singing its artistic. I mean, well, maybe I am singing its artistic praises a little bit because I thought it was an interesting looking movie, and passion always goes a long way with me. And, you know, there was a lot of passion in that project, and there's everybody in that movie. And it was the first time it's the first time I remember seeing Mandy Patinkin in a movie that wasn't
Princess Bride.
Yeah, Princess Bride. And, you know, now I've seen him in lots of other stuff. But I was all like, hey, you killed my father and shit. That's cool. Play that piano. But I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, maybe if you see it on HBO or something, leave it there for 5 minutes and look at the pretty colors and move on and keep hating it. I picked it as my number two. But, yeah, I love Road to Perdition, though. That's why it was my number one. So, Dick Tracy, sure. I just think is, I thought it was an interesting movie, especially if you remember around the time when it came out, because it was everywhere. I mean, it wasn't as much as Batman, but I think that they probably pushed it harder because Batman
tried,
happened.
Yeah. Sure.
I mean, I do remember just tons of those dumbass coats everywhere. I'm like, I'm not going to wear a yellow coat. Are you out of your mind? And
yeah.
I don't know. And Ethan's 100% right. The action figure sucked.
Yep.
But I guess that is our top six list.
I haven't done my number one yet, actually.
So. Okay. Oh, okay. Blow it away, Ethan. What's your number one?
Well, you know, as with any list, you know, you ask me tomorrow and I would come up with a different one.
My number one's almost always solid, but the rest of my list is fluid.
And comic book movies to me are just such near and dear to me that I'll, my favorite sort of, you know, goes with my mood and whatnot. But as I was organizing this list today, you know, my number one ended up being the 2004 Hellboy. And
really?
You know,
really?
Yeah, yeah.
Hellboy's fine.
I loved it. I loved that movie. It was just the style was great. The casting was great.
Well,
and it just really leapt off of the page. It's the thing I loved about the comic book was sort of the folklore, the folklore feel, the folktale feel of the comic book, and the movie just got it for me. And it had this the great sort of H.P. Lovecraft-esque bad guys in there.
You know,
and,
I still haven't seen the sequel.
The sequel is good.
I heard that.
Although the sequel pretty much feels like, did you see Pan's Labyrinth?
I love Pan's Labyrinth.
It's very Pan's Labyrinth-like.
Ooh, I love that.
Hellboy, to me, I was not very familiar with the comic book when the movie came out. And
are you aware of the developments in the comic books that happened last week?
Mm-mm.
He
no.
fucking
oh, don't
died.
Tell, don't tell me. I'm way behind on reading.
I lied.
Say it.
Something huge happened.
Okay.
Don't say anything. I haven't read it yet. So.
Okay, sorry.
Excellent. It's the musical numbers.
Musical numbers and, yep, song and dance is great.
Lasers, 8 o'clock high. But Hellboy, to me, I guess ended up being my number one just because of the style of the movie and the
Guillermo del Toro can direct the shit out of a movie.
Pardon me. It just has such a great style to it, and the casting in it is so solid, and the story was fun, and really it was just sort of this off the wall a superhero comic that nobody had heard of, and sort of came out and said, well, we're going to do this Hellboy, and you know, you go and read the comic books and you go and watch the movie, and it's almost this perfect, beautiful translation of the character. You know, obviously they made some changes because no medium translates perfectly, type of thing. But Hellboy just, for me, embodies sort of what I enjoy about comic book movies, is you have the great characters, the great cast, you can tell a compelling story.
That's another great casting, Ron Howard as Hellboy.
Oh, yeah.
Ron Howard.
Ron Howard?
Ron Perlman. Excuse me.
Yes, Ron Perlman as Hellboy was great. I know...
David Hyde Pierce pulled a classy move, because he refused to be credited as the voice of Abe Sapien, because it was Doug Jones that was doing the voice, doing the body, and he said, you know, that was entirely him. I just happened to say what he wanted me to say, and
right.
You know, I thought that was classy. So you know, right. good on him.
With Ron Perlman, I remember when Del Toro was doing the movie, that was a big thing. He had to really fight for Ron Perlman in that role.
Yeah,
to the point
they wanted
like,
Schwarzenegger, if I remember right.
Wow,
I don't remember that, but Schwarzenegger would have still been
no. I'm so lying. Vin Diesel. They wanted Vin Diesel.
Oh, okay. Oh
wow, that would have been worse.
Yep.
Yeah, that wouldn't have happened. Yeah. But, you know, he stuck to his, you know, Del Toro stuck to his guns and said, no, this guy is perfect. Here is the artist creator. And he said, and the artist
Mignola?
Creator, Mignola, said, when I designed this character,
Ron Perlman
was in my mind. And, you know, he fought and got it out there. And the movie just really, really came to life for me. None of them have done it really, really well.
They've done okay. That was a fantastic page-to-screen adaptation.
Oh, yeah.
I will give it that.
Yeah, and the second one's a lot of fun because it's an original story that Mike Mignola did with Del Toro, but it has a lot of this really cool, fairy... legends and whatnot, fairy lore in there. And that's why it really feels like it's part of that Pan's Labyrinth universe. And it just happens to have Hellboy in it. But in Hellboy, I mean, you got Nazis as the bad guys in the modern day, but it's just such a off-the-wall comic book story, and that's sort of the reason I put it, and it ended up my number one.
See, I liked it, and I liked and it the, a lot, but
another
I don't
of,
know if it would occur to me on one of these lists.
It's another sort of example I look at going, you want to just, like, fan freaking tastic makeup job. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, god damn, they can do some good stuff.
Well, the thing is, you know, I'm going to cut in here because I'm
like,
say something about this. First of all, Hellboy I actually knew as a comic book because I had read the comic book when it first came out. I actually was already a Del Toro fan. I mean, I loved Blade 2. I loved Devil's Backbone.
I love Blade 2.
Yeah, I was a really big fan of his. I was a big fan of Ron Perlman as well. I liked
Beauty and the Beast.
City of Lost Children, which he was amazing in. He was the lead in that. But I was looking forward to this movie. I read the script like a year and a half before it came out. It was a very rare script I read in advance just because I had access to it and I was excited. But I like the movie a lot. I actually kind of like the sequel a little bit better because I think the sequel...
You know, I've heard more than you say that before.
Yeah, sequel's a bigger movie. It's a little more... Mm-hmm. It has a lot more, like, I mean, he really ups the ante on the CG and the creatures. It's really kind of crazy, actually. So, I don't know. I mean, Hellboy 2 is in my top 10. Hellboy 1 is probably right in the outskirts.
See,
cool.
I still haven't seen the second one, and it isn't out of lack of wanting to. I just couldn't make it to the theater, and it's for some dumbass reason in the town that we live in, it's hard to come by on DVD. The town I live in, it's hard to come by on DVD, and it's not on Netflix or any crap like the Instant Watch.
I've got it at home. I can bring
it. You said at one point you were going to loan it to me. I actually have it on the show, and you never brought it.
So does Amazon deliver to your town, or
I'm sure they do, but you know.
Oh, okay.
They actually still use Pony Express out here.
No, not quite that bad. You know, but you know, I'm more of an instant gratification kind of dude, and I've seen the first Hellboy. I've seen it 3, 4, 5 times, something, and I really like it quite a bit. And it certainly would never occur to me for a number one. It would probably show up on a superhero list with me thinking I'm clever, you know, because you know maybe not a lot of people. I could see you know Joe Blow off the street not realizing it's a comic book movie. But if you're anywhere near comic books, and especially in the early '90s, you knew who the hell Hellboy was.
Right. And it wasn't strictly superhero because it was. It kind of got into genre, into fantasy and horror, and things like this, like a lot of things like that. So kind of like, it wasn't a straight superhero. It never was. So.
You have read the comic books. I mean, the thing that really appealed to me about the movie and the comic books was that folktale feel that it had, and it, you know, because I started off reading the Coffin and Other Tales, I think is the book that it was, but.
Yeah,
and the movie just to me did a great job of sort of capturing, and it real felt like the artist, because the artist was involved. It felt like the artist just said, "Okay, let's do this on screen, and it's going to look very accurate." You know,
who is the name of the
artist?
No, excuse, the Nazi character, the guy
Rasputin.
No, the.
Oh,
the Nazi,
the clock character.
Yeah, him,
Cronin.
Like that guy, I guess, was like this is like one. You know, no offense to superherohype.com, but that's like one of the things that I saw the trolls just going nuts about. He was so different than he was in the comic book. I guess he was like really meek and shit in the comic, but he was like, like, you know, Ray Park from The Phantom Menace in this movie.
Sure. So, well,
and that's called scope.
He's
not
in the comic that much, you know.
Right. So. I mean, it's called, I'm cool with it. I mean, I like
that
movie.
Professor Broom isn't in the comics that much, you know?
That was William Hurt?
Yeah.
John
Hurt. Jesus John Hurt. Christ. Only had 4 beers. I mean, come on. But yeah, I mean, I like it a lot. It just wouldn't occur to me. I mean, I've watched it, and I do want to see the second one because I've heard nothing but good things about it.
They should watch it. It's a really, really good movie. Like, you know, I think.
Mm-hmm. It just maybe it's one of those ones that doesn't occur to me to grab when I'm at the. You know, we're lucky enough. I'm lucky enough to live in a town that's got
And this one that has a kick-ass DVD.
Does it? The city I live in. Are you aware of Criterion DVDs, Edward?
Of course, yeah.
Oh, well, we have a video store in town. Ethan and I actually both used to work at it. They have a fantastic Criterion selection. I mean, pretty much if it's in print, they have it. And a lot of stuff that's out of print. And so I go to this video store and I spend, you know, $15 on, you know, I'm renting all these different Criterions and checking out, you know, like all this cool stuff. So.
Well, Hellboy and Hellboy 2, one thing definitely can give credit to Del Toro is he knows how to do good extra features.
Yeah,
and he put out a kick-ass DVD director's cut of the first movie.
Back in the day when we did our top 6 DVD commentaries, I believe you brought up Del Toro's Hellboy commentary.
It's good.
Oh, no, it's fucking amazing. I loved that commentary. I hadn't heard it, and you brought it.
Hellboy 2 one's good, too.
Is it? I don't know. I like Del Toro quite a bit. I mean, yeah. I love Pan's Labyrinth. And
Well, I think what I like about Del Toro is his passion.
Yeah, I mean, that's so apparent.
He really loves doing this stuff.
I was kind of sad when he left The Hobbit, because I would have liked to have seen that. But, you know, at the same time, Peter Jackson will do it well, too, mm-hmm. I guess. But, you know, it's a good movie. I mean, apparently Edward likes it, too. So.
Yep, mm-hmm. I'm a fan.
Cool. Well, now I guess that's we finally got through our top six list. Apparently, we have a lot to say about a lot of these movies. So, why don't we run down our top 10 and try to let Edward go to bed sometime today?
That would probably be good.
Yeah,
I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, me too.
I'm an hour ahead or behind you. So yeah,
yeah,
so
yeah. You're ahead of us. So yes.
All right. Hit your number, your top 10, Ethan.
Well, in all of our talkings, I'm surprised none of us did talk about this one. But my number 10 is A History of Violence.
That is my number 8. Cronenberg, motherfucker. I love that movie.
And Cronenberg's hit and miss for me. This one I like Cronenberg. Loved. It was one of the first Blu-rays I got. So, History of Violence. Number 9 is Dick Tracy. Number 8 is The Rocketeer. Number 7 is Captain America, the First Avenger. Number 6 is Superman. Number 5 is Iron Man. Number 4 is X2. Number 3 is Spider-Man 2. Number 2 is Road to Perdition. And number 1 is Hellboy.
All right, Edward, what's your number? Your top 10?
Okay. History of Violence. I could get into that a little further, but I won't. But I did like the movie, but I felt like, you know, that's from the same Paradox Press as Road to Perdition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I basically read the comics originally, and I, knowing that David Cronenberg pretty much ignored the comics and just made his own movie, kind of annoyed me. So
and I haven't read the comic, and maybe if I'd come from that background, I'd probably be right there with you. But as a movie, it's great, and I didn't know it was a comic book movie. So
yeah. Dude, and by the way, if you like History of Violence, go see Drive, because you'll both love that movie.
I love Drive. It's a great movie.
Oh, you've seen it already?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, you're talking the new one with Ryan Gosling?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Actually, Ryan Gosling, he's like a little bit below Levitt on my radar. Uh-huh. I've really got my eyes on him, because I was really surprised with some of these movies he's done, like how good of an actor he is. He doesn't come across like that, but he's really good.
Yeah, he should have been Green Lantern, basically, to tie it back into our...
I like Nathan Fillion.
Okay.
You know,
anyway, my top 10. Let me do my top 10.
Sorry, go ahead.
So, okay, number 10. Okay, well, it's a little weird, because I'm kind of hedging on 9 still, but 10, I went with Wanted, which is Timur Bekmambetov's.
I liked that movie.
I did not like that movie.
Okay.
I find that movie entertaining.
I
don't like Reese Myers.
Nothing like the comic book, but it was entertaining movie.
I don't like Jonathan Reese Myers, and I want to, because he does some cool shit sometimes.
Wait, Jonathan Reese Myers, I mean, James McAvoy.
James McAvoy.
Okay. I was like, why are you trying to Jonathan Reese Myers? It's not in the movie. Okay.
Actually, that's true what I said about Reese Myers, is I want to like him, I just haven't liked him anything he's done. But I hate McAvoy.
Oh, okay.
McAvoy.
Anyway, Wanted. Let me tell you. Wanted is on my top 10 because I actually love the comic book by Mark Miller. I was a big fan of it. The movie is nothing like the comic book whatsoever, but it's kind of like takes the idea and goes in this really
turns it up
kind
to
of
11.
Crazy direction. Yeah, it takes it a kind of crazy direction. I thought it's his best movie so far. I mean, I think he did really interesting. I love the cast. Love Morgan Freeman and Angelina Jolie. And I thought they really did kind of interesting things. So that's my number 10.
Morgan Freeman.
It's Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
Now, number 9 was going to be Hellboy 2, but I think I'm going to switch to Blade 2 because I like that a little bit better.
It's funny.
Blade 2 is a great movie.
I remember really, really, really liking Blade 2, and I think I'd only seen it once. I'd only seen it once, and I remember thinking, I love Blade 2, and then, you know, in my hurricane of a mind, I said, you know, maybe I like Blade 2 more than it deserved because I hated the first one so much. And then I rewatched that less than a week ago, and I loved that movie.
Blade 2 was so good.
Talking comic book stuff, you know.
Jesus, that last fight was awesome.
Yeah,
I know.
Comic book movies, to me, a good superhero movie has a good superhero fight, and that fucking movie had a badass fight at the end.
I like the fact that the villain was sympathetic, which is honestly kind of rare in superhero movies. Yeah.
And it also had Ron Perlman in another great Guillermo del Toro role.
Yeah.
Anything and then it gives Ron Perlman more work.
Yeah,
I'm for it.
Yeah, I hate. I also watched the third one because I'm all like, hey, I love the second one, so maybe I like the third. Oh Jesus, God, that was horrible.
Yeah, I know. Right,
hated
I know.
That movie.
Okay, number eight. Getting back on track here. Got 30 seconds. Number 8 is 300. Zack Snyder's second movie.
I like that movie too. A lot of people don't, and I don't know why.
It's a great Spartan recruitment film.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I like. I mean, I'm a big fan of Frank Miller's graphic novel. I liked. You know, it's funny. No one's mentioned Sin City yet either, which is kind of strange.
You know, I was actually kind of thinking about that. And
Sin City was like, it's funny. Sin City was just kind of on the edge, but anyway, 300. I really liked Frank Miller's graphic novel. Mm-hmm. I thought Zack Snyder nailed that. He captured everything about that graphic novel perfectly. He created, added the motion to it. I think it's Zack Snyder's best movie.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever read, it's not a comic book, but have you ever read Gates of Fire by Stephen Pressfield?
No, I have heard of it, though.
It's a great companion to the 300 movie.
Right.
It really is.
It's inspired.
300 is the first Blu-ray I bought. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, so that's number 8. Number 7, okay, I'm going to go with American Splendor. I love American Splendor. It's a
damn good movie.
It's a little different because it's not really... Yeah, it's kind of more of a biopic about a comic creator, but it does use a lot of the stories from his comic books, and I think it kind of captured the spirit of those comics. So that's number 7.
That's an anti-Ethan movie, if there ever was one.
I can imagine, yeah.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and number 6 is Ghost World, 5 is X2, 4 is Dark Knight, 3 is Old Boy, 2 is Iron Man, and 1 is The Road to Perdition.
Excellent. All right, my number 10, which I usually reserve for dumbass movies that I like despite them being dumbass, is the 1999 Mystery Men. And
I do like that movie.
It's a dumbass movie, but is it not fun?
But it is entertaining.
And then we get into my number 9. My number 9 is Bulletproof Monk. I like that movie in spite of itself.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, you know, that was stupid, but man, yeah. I had nothing else better to do that day. And so,
Chow Yun-Fat, we're good.
Yeah, I like Chow Yun-Fat quite a bit, and that's like one of the few roles I could stand Sean William Scott in, but it's really on the line. Then we get to my number 8, it was A History of Violence. And then my number 7 was American Splendor, because it was a good movie. I mean, it's like... Paul Giamatti doesn't quite get the credit he deserves. He's almost there because he's a pretty damn good actor.
Oh, yeah.
And then we get into my list we already talked about, where my number 6 was Doc Savage, Man of Bronze. My number 5 was The Crow. My number 4 was Heavy Metal. My number 3 was The Rocketeer. My number 2 was Dick Tracy. My number 1 was Road to Perdition. So that has been our top 6 list, or 10, or whatever you want to call it, of our favorite comic book movies of all time. Stay tuned, we're going to be right back with our outro section. And we are back. We just had a fascinating discussion, I felt, with Edward Douglas about comic book movies. And there's some damn good movies here. I mean, it was funny, when I was making my list, you know, when I was excluding superhero movies, you know, I had myself sticking stuff like Doc Savage and Mystery Man. I'm like, there's some dumbass movies in this genre, too. But something about comic book movies bring out something in me to where, you know, I put away that critic's hat, so to speak. And I just sit back and I enjoy Janine Garofalo throwing around a bowling ball with her dad's skull in it. I mean, sometimes they're just there to entertain you. And some of these movies really do that. Some of them change your life, like Road to Perdition.
Jeffrey Rush was in that movie,
yeah. But yeah, so that's been our comic book discussion. Now, Edward, every week we give people the opportunity to plug anything they would like to. Do you have any web presence? Do you have any projects? Do you have anything you'd like people to check out to see what you're up to these days?
Well, I'm still at ComingSoon.net and Superhero Hype, so you can find everything I write at one of the two places. My weekly column, The Weekend Warrior, it's still weekly. Mm-hmm. It's only, just so you know, I've kind of announced it, but I'm going to do 6 more columns and that's it. I've been doing it for 10 years and I'm burnt out.
Oh,
I'm going to try to do some different thing once I figure out what that's going to be yet. Uh-huh. So, basically that's it. You guys talked about Underworld earlier. I have a set visit for Underworld if you want to read a little more about what the movie's about.
Oh, yeah?
You can't really get it from the teaser trailer, I don't think, but
yeah.
Sure.
Well, I hope that's the best movie ever made, but you know.
Just so you know, they have new directors. They have like some brand new directors.
It isn't Len Westman.
He didn't do
he was not.
I knew that.
He moved on to Total Recall, and they have a different director.
Right.
I don't know. I kind of like the set visit I wrote, and I kind of think that I'm optimistic. I've kind of like I liked the second movie set visit as well, but I think I don't know. I'm a little optimistic that maybe they'll get this one right. We'll see.
Cool.
And that's about it. That's all my plugs.
Well, yeah, I mean, our interview with you is up on the it's up on redphonezone.com. It's also on iTunes now. Check it out. It's actually one of my I'm not tooting my own horn, but it's one of my favorite things that we've done on the show that I legitimately enjoy listening to. I mean, it was an interesting discussion. And I don't know if you listened to it yet, but man, did I edit.
Oh.
What?
I'm scared to.
Well, you know, I edited the shit out of it. So Okay. Maybe you ought to listen to it because, you know, maybe I changed what you were thinking. Because,
oh, really?
No. I basically, you know how
did you turn me into a zombie saying, "I love Red Phone Zone. I love Red Phone Zone.
Green Lantern is great. Aaron is right." No,
yeah,
no.
You are right.
No,
you are right, Aaron. I am wrong.
Yeah, there you go. No, we didn't do. Hey, why don't we get that clear so I can put that back in there? No, but basically, this stumbling over ourselves because we both do it a lot. It was really apparent in the episode. It makes us sound more articulate and stuff. So, you know,
now that you've done that, that's our intro bumper for every segment. Apparently,
yeah, so. Yeah, I love it. But yeah, check it out. It's a lot of fun. I enjoyed that. And I actually enjoyed this show a lot. I can't wait till it's edited together to hear it. But so that wraps up what we did this week. Next week is another one of these shows. Like, we've done these shows like, you know, the umpteen billion fucking sci-fi shows that we did that I was fine doing. I thought it was fun discussing, but I wasn't really looking forward to it. And then we have stuff like noir, and we have stuff like comic book movies that I really look forward to. And next week is a show I'm really looking forward to. We're doing Westerns as a film genre. The original American film genre. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yep.
I mean,
the first film genre, the quote unquote.
Yeah, you know? I mean, there's some heavy hitters in there. You got your, you know, you got your Peckinpahs, you got your John Fords, you got your Clint fucking Eastwoods.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing that with Noah Gibbs. And, yeah, that's a friend of Ethan's, I take it. I've been talking to him about it. And
yeah, he was down for CanCon.
So that's pretty cool. I'm looking forward to that discussion big time because I love Western. Do you like Westerns at all, Ethan?
No, I hate Westerns with a passion, man.
Actually, yeah, oddly enough, it took me to be an adult to like Westerns as much as I did. I think that's weird because it's just such a dumb – I mean, it can – you know, you got dumb shit like Quick and the Dead and, you know, fun movies like that. But I don't know. I mean, it strikes me as a kid genre, but it took me to be like 20 before I loved it. And man, do I love some Westerns now. Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be Noah Gibbs, a buddy of Ethan's. We're going to be talking about some Western movies. That's going to be pretty cool. But until then, you can find us on iTunes, like I said. You can find us on...
Rate us and review us on iTunes, you know?
Dear God, please do. I mean, I'd love to break that hump of, you know, 2 or whatever it is that we have.
If you rate us and review us, Aaron will stop doing the show naked.
Yes, I will.
Please rate and review us. Please, for the love of God.
Yeah, I'm really not this small. It's cold in here. But, yeah, we are on, like I said, iTunes. Please do rate and review us. While you're there, shoot on over to Bagna Boardcast and rate and review them. It's our friendly sister podcast because they're a bunch of girls, but they're not. But, yeah, rate and review them. It's a great show. We're also on our website, redphonezone.com, where you can get the entirety of our episodes, 62 of them at this point.
Yep.
We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Twitter. We're at redphonezone.com. We're also now on Google Plus.
At redphonezone.com.
Excuse me, at redphonezone. We're also on Google Plus now, so we are all over the web. If you want to email us, email me, Aaron at redphonezone.com, or Ethan at redphonezone.com. I mean, we're all over the place, and if you want us to stop doing the show, just let us know, and we'll be sure to ignore you.
Exactly. And make fun of you on the air.
Yeah, but I'd love to be in that predicament. Do you have anything to add, Ethan?
No, I think that's about it, you know.
Well, thank you very much for being on the show, Edward. I'm amazed that you decided to talk to me ever again after that crazy Green Lantern discussion.
Thanks for having me. It was nice to be part of one of the real shows, one of the real, like, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm not doing this to make money. I'm doing it because I love movies and I love comic books. And
that's great.
You know, that's why I keep doing it, you know, because, you know, I have one consistent listener to this show, and I will always keep doing it for him, and that listener is me, because I love listening to it, and I love talking about this stuff. So that's what the Red Phone Zone's all about, and that makes me pretty happy. But yeah, thank you very much for being on the show, Edward.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, maybe in the future at some point we can maybe do something else again. We'll see. We got lots of stuff left over. But yeah, check out Edward's reviews. They're on RottenTomatoes.com. They're all over the place on both coming soon. Is it .net?
Yes.
Yeah, coming soon,
right. And SuperheroHype.com. And don't listen to me. That site's awesome. It's just some other little stuff about it that I don't like. But yeah, check him out.
Just ignore the comments and you're fine.
Actually, I loved his I never told you this. I loved your Harry Potter review. I mean, I think you nailed it on that one.
I love that movie. That might be one of my top 5 movies of the year. It's crazy.
I think it's probably my favorite movie that came out this summer. I mean, I really liked whatchamacallit? Number one this weekend.
Conan?
The Help.
Oh, okay.
Conan was very far from number one.
No, I know. I was just kidding with him. Yeah,
no, I like The Help quite a bit. I still need to see Crazy Stupid Love. I still say my favorite comic book movie of the summer is Captain America. But, hey, whatever.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you very much for being on the show. But until next week when we're discussing Westerns, that makes me Aaron.
That makes me Ethan.
Let your geek flag fly.
Just hit stop.
Yeah, just hit stop.